dick pics upon request? Like, it goes on.
You should have
on
a crotch cam for each person.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Game of the Year episode. I'm Bobby.
I'm Minnie.
I'm Sniper.
And I'm ready for the greatest video game award extravaganza of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, you have your own big ones. You have the Game Awards, and you have, you know, PC Gamer, Game of the Year, and all that stuff. But people really wait for this one. This is the one that, you know, is like etched in stone. Oh, that's the one. What did PC, what did DLG say about 2020?
Yep. And you're going to hear it on this episode. We've never really done this before, but we've got a different format for our Game of the Year episode. We're not just going to talk about our Game of the Year. We've got several categories that we're going to talk about. Plus, we've got a lot of listener submissions, some that we're going to read, and also some audio clips that we're going to play. And they're going to tell us what their Game of the Year is. Thank you, Recycled and Curdle, for the subscriptions. 29 months on Recycled and 13 months for Curdle. Very cool.
And then at the end, Bobby, are we going to hash out Game of the Year, you and I?
I suppose so, but I don't know. See, I feel like it should be more of a community effort, so we'll see what the community has to say. I think it'll become clear when we get to the end. No spoilers.
Press one for thumb wrestle. Press two for salsa eating contest. I think those are the front runners.
Press X for cock wrestling.
I don't want to see that. All right. Well, let's get into it. Our first category that we're going to talk about is one that I'm very proud of coming up with. Everybody talks about the best game of the year that they played, but they never talk about the best game of the year they didn't play. So our first category is the best PC game you did not play. And I chose Star Wars Squadrons. So I didn't play this game because I don't buy games very often. And this cost, I don't know how much this cost, but it was too rich for me.
Not anymore anyway.
Yeah. Well, I heard you need a flight stick for this as well. Now this is what Sniper told me. You need a flight stick for this.
You 100% need a flight stick for it to be worth it, I think.
Okay.
Because it's like super immersive with the flight stick, and if you're doing it on a mouse and keyboard, it's just wrong, man. Like,
you don't feel like you're giving up accuracy.
No, like morally, it's wrong. Like, why would you do that to yourself?
I suppose so. But it looks like a great game. It's Star Wars, and it's kind of bringing back TIE Fighter and the X-Wing games. It looks great. So, yeah, this is the one that I really felt like I missed out on a bit. But I don't know about buying another peripheral, like a flight stick.
This guy sounds like somebody who had his first IPA, and now he's like, like a beer snob. Now he's like a flight snob just because he's flying around
got that flight stick.
He knows what a barrel roll is.
Those are all like PC gamers are all nerds, but then the flight stick, the ones that use flight sticks are like the nerdiest of the nerds. You know, those people.
Yeah, you
all
can't
about,
recover after that.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Well, flight simulators, that's where you.
You bring a controller home, not work fine, though?
A controller?
For this game? Like,
probably.
I play all my flight sims with a controller, and I've never had the yearn to buy a flight stick.
Maybe you don't know what you're missing, dude.
Yeah,
you might be right. You might be completely right.
You're worse than you're like an unwashed barbarian, and then the people who use a mouse and keyboard are like your average
wash
citizens.
Barbarians?
Okay. Yeah, wash barbarians. Yeah, and then flight stick people are like the creme de la creme of whatever gamer flight society. So, yeah. Yikes.
All right, Emilio, what was your best PC game you didn't play this year?
That would go to Half-Life Alyx. I just haven't played it. I don't know. I haven't had the time. I've really wanted to play it on an Index as well. And
so
just
good,
really
dude.
Dive into it. Yeah, I mean, people are, you know, there was articles written about how important this game was and groundbreaking and all that. And really the killer app for VR now. And it's just sitting there. I don't know. I haven't played it and I really want to.
I spent like a solid 5 minutes squeezing a soap bottle, looking at my hands while squeezing a bottle of soap. And I was just like, what the fuck? This is so real.
That reminded
me. It was with an index, so it does have like the squeeze feedback, the haptic feedback of squeezing stuff.
Damn. You have that whole tracking. You have that whole rig? You have all that?
Yeah.
Damn, nice. I imagine it's akin to the first time playing Half-Life 2. I remember putting a can of Coke in a milk crate and shifting it side to side and see a slide in there and then throwing it up and catching it. And I was just like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, just yeah. Physics. Man. Yeah.
This has
was
been
the
a
lotion
popular.
Bottle the only thing you squeezed?
It was a soap bottle, and no, it wasn't.
Okay.
Yikes. Yeah, this game has been really popular. It's pretty much unanimous that this is the best game to play in VR.
Yeah.
All right, Christian, or Sniper, I'm sorry, your code name. Sorry, dude, I just outed you to everybody.
I'm blown, dude. Damn.
Sniper with a C, what was your game?
Yeah. Grounded, you know? Like, even though it was only... an access event. I don't know, Emilio, how long of a game is like 6 hours or something?
Well, when we played it, it was just maybe 4 hours. If we knew what we were doing.
Why are you looking at me? I didn't play with you.
You didn't play with me?
No, I didn't play this game.
Oh, it was me, John. Oh, and Chad. That's why I mix up Bobby and Chad still to this day, even though one's not even in my life anymore. yeah, I don't know. If we knew what we were doing, maybe 3 hours, but we only got to the portion where it's like, you know, we're playing an early access, and there was only so much of the game. I would say it couldn't be more than a third of the game, you know? And, it was a cliffhanger. It was like you got to this point, and it was like, oh, this is where the mystery begins of like what we're doing and stuff. And it was just really cool. Yeah, it was a great game. Hopefully,
it was made by Obsidian, too, huh? That's
kinda
good.
Yeah, it was kind of buggy, but, you know, early access.
Kind of buggy.
pun intended? I don't know.
Yeah. We use the same joke in Deep Rock Galactic all the time. Yeah. Yeah, this I don't know. Like... This game looked good, but I was excited about it. Great idea. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but like crafting survival with goals and missions. But then, you know, I had heard like everybody played it for like 6 hours. It was awesome, but there was... It just didn't go anywhere after that. But it is still being developed, right?
Yeah. That's all there was.
Okay.
It's not the whole game. Like I said, it was just like, it felt like it was the beginning of the game, like the prologue.
Yeah.
And that's on the Xbox Game Pass right now, I believe, as well.
Yeah. It was free. Yeah. I mean, it was free with the Game Pass.
Yeah. All right. Mini, what's your game?
Doom Eternal. I love the first one, and I've seen so many good things about the second one. The music is great. I've downloaded the soundtrack. Love the soundtrack, but I just haven't gotten around to playing it. I know there's like a whole bunch of new features, like you can like disarm your enemies by like shooting their weapons and stuff like that, and that sounds really cool. But I just haven't gotten around to playing it yet, as much as I know I will eventually.
It's a time sink, man. What is it, 15 hours, dude?
It's 12 to 15 hours.
Yeah.
So it's at least twice as long as the first one. And I kind of felt like that hurt it. But I did like what they did, where you have your fortress. And as you go through the levels, you unlock things in your fortress, different collectibles or whatever, like unlock different parts. And you can choose where to spend the credits. And it's not like just a menu that pops up and unlock this or that. Like you actually have to walk to the area and like unlock it. It kind of reminds me of like Metroid almost, or maybe that's not the game that I'm thinking of correctly. But... Yeah, I mean, it's good, man. It's a little bit more of the same from the first Doom, but...
More of a story, isn't there?
Yeah, there's more of a story in this one.
Here's my recommendation for this game, dude. Beat it in one... Not one sitting, obviously, but beat it without taking a break. Because at least for me, and same thing happened to Ray, it's not your conventional shooter. It has its... Especially if you're going to play it on hard or whatever. It's... A lot of inventory management on the fly, split section inventory management. So you do one move to get this kind of resource back. You do another move to get this kind of resource back. And there's like five resources, right? And they're all on cooldowns. So you're managing all these different resources, but obviously it's fucking blood and guts and everything's going on. And if you take a month break or 2 month break, but you're already on the fifth level. Your skills aren't already still on the fifth level. You know what I mean? Like, because it's not your everyday shooter, it's hard to get back into that groove.
Okay. A lot of micromanagement seems.
Yeah.
Resource management.
It's a lot. You have to like train your brain. It's like a skill. Yeah. It's like playing an instrument, really. Like you really have to train your fingers and your brain to, so it eventually becomes intuition. And that goes away if you stop playing the game after a while.
Yeah. So. But the bad guys don't forget how to kill you. You know, you're still on the seventh level of difficulty.
It does. I found it a lot more challenging than the first one.
For sure. Coming back to it is tough, dude. It is.
Okay.
I mean, you could always...
Be sure to just solo the game then.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Nick is going to be joining us later in the show, and she could not make it today, but they have submissions as well. We should have reached out to Ray to get his submissions for this too. But we are going to be reading Cheese and Nick's submissions for these categories as well. So again, for best PC game you didn't play this year, Cheese says Hades. And I'm right there with her with that. I have not played Hades this year, even though that is just incredibly popular right now.
I was playing it when you walked in.
Yep.
Have you beat it yet, Emilio?
I have not. I'm so bad, dude. I've gotten to Hades himself probably 3-4 times for the first time.
He's a son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's a son. That second phase, dude. That second phase is rough. But I'm having, like, I don't mind losing. Like, it's so much fun. It doesn't matter. Just listening to the voice actors and fucking, we'll get into it later. But yeah.
All right. And Nick says Half-Life Alyx. And I noticed both of you, or maybe I should blame Christian for this, both of you spelled Alyx wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's with a Y.
No,
that's right.
That's a copy-paste. It's them.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So another one for Half-Life Alyx, the best game we didn't play.
Yep.
Okay. So what we're going to do now, we've got some submissions. Now, these are what people said their favorite PC game of the year was. First submission is from Nyanko. And he says Genshin Impact. And he has this to say about it. Great action combat, like instant switching between characters to apply magical effects to enemies and trigger reactions. Awesome open world MMO features, character models, stories, Japanese voice acting, and music.
Never even heard of this.
You've never heard of this game? Okay, no. So it's on mobile. And I think a lot of people kind of dismiss it as, it's just a mobile game. But it is on PC as well.
Mm.
And yeah, he's talked to me a lot about this one and kind of sold me on it. I installed it, but I have yet to play it. It's an MMO. It's very anime, but it does that thing that I liked so much in Guild Wars 2. And I think it does it better based on what I hear, where you kind of combo, and you can combo with yourself by applying status effect or magical effect, and then you combo with like something else. I think like maybe Magicka a little bit. Remember how you could combine the elements and create interactions? It's sort of like that. Guild Wars 2 kind of did that years ago, but it was like the first time I had ever really noticed something like that, at least in an MMO setting.
I think there's a gacha game, isn't it?
What is that again? I forget what the gacha game is.
I buy characters buy loot boxes that unlock characters.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You can do the grind, but it's like, whatever, 100 times as long. And if you're at the final levels, it's not worth it. I saw a funny tweet the other day. It's like, wow, can you believe Genshin Impact is free? And then the top reply was, it has a cost. The cost is your entire life and your time if you actually want to get to the end of it.
I don't know. I know he has told me that he's managed to not spend any money on this game. So I don't know. Some games you can do that on, but...
I imagine it's a it's cross-platform, right? So you can take your save from the phone and go to your PC, I'm
guessing. I don't know about that.
I would hope
so.
Sure
you could.
I would imagine.
Maybe. All right. Our next entry... Sniper, are you going to play the audio for these?
Oh boy. Yeah, not, I can. Oh. I hope it comes through well.
Okay. Well, this one is from ScramTX, and his favorite game of the year was Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey, guys. My game of the year nomination is between Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Carrion, and The Pedestrian. Three great games, but ultimately, Ori and the Will of the Wisps is every bit as good as Ori and Blind Forest. And between the art style, story, gameplay, they're the best Metroidvania platformers ever. So my nomination is for Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Okay,
cool. Hey, Mini, being a Metroidvania dude, did you get around to these?
Dude, I didn't hear anything he said.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little quiet. I think I can play the audio here from now on. But he did. Okay. He mentioned a few games. So he mentioned Carrion.
Yeah, I played Carrion.
Yeah, you played that one. Really liked it. He mentioned Pedestrian, which Warconius was telling us was just a really good game that a lot of people missed out on.
I haven't heard of it.
But he says overall the best game is Pedestrian's
a really cool. Oh, we did talk about
this. Yeah, we talked about it. It's a really cool puzzle game. Plays with perspective.
Yeah.
But he says he's got to go with Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Now, I didn't play any of these games, any of the Ori and Blind Forest, Will of the Wisps.
Yep.
Yeah. But I will say this, like people who aren't really like gamers, who like occasionally game, like they aren't really that into it, have told me that they really love these games.
They are beautiful games. It looks like a painting the entire time you're playing. It is, the Will of the Wisp, I referenced it as the premier hand-drawn art. Like, that was the go-to, kind of like Star Wars is the best graphics ever. This is the best, like, hand-drawn painted art that I've ever seen, probably. And
the gameplay itself as a Metroidvania, it's an amazing Metroidvania.
Yeah.
The game is so fun.
Yep. I played this one for about 3 hours or whatever. The first one I played all the way. And everybody knows about that escape from the water spout. Did you beat it, Vinny?
The second one, no.
No, from the first one, that like you're getting out of a tree or lava's coming up or something like that. Do you know which one, that segment?
It's been a long time. I don't recall, honestly. I did beat it, but
it scarred my brain, dude. Anyway. Yeah, they're difficult. They're great. They're beautiful. The music's fantastic.
Definitely. Yeah, the music is beautiful as well.
Nice.
I saw a parody of this actually in porn too.
Oh, nice.
I want to throw that out there. I can't find it right now. None of these don't look like it, but
you're watching your Google search, and we're all like, "What the fuck is he looking at?"
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Right before this started, because we go through Sniper's computer, and I was like, "Hey, put up your her search history." He's like, "I don't think I want to do that."
So, yeah,
I wouldn't let you guys do mine either.
Yikes! All right, on to our next category. Now, I didn't come up with this category, Sniper. You want to explain this one?
Okay, so this is the best game to get drunk high and for you, Bobby, Soylented on. And I imagine if you've had like four or five Soylents, you just chug them back in a row, you're like right jazzed. So, yeah, it's just to chill. Or if you're drunk or high, you tend to play games differently. Yeah, so I hope everyone, well, Emilio put BPM. I wonder why is that?
Because it's a rhythm game. And there's a certain level where alcohol definitely helps with rhythm.
I don't know about that.
Well, there's definitely diminishing returns.
Helps with confidence, not necessarily the
dude, I completely
have you seen
disagree.
These guys on the dance floor super yeah. drunk? Come on.
I completely disagree, dude. I think 100% alcohol, it makes dancing easier. It's because you lose your inhibitions, so you don't care about being offbeat that much, and then you end up being better at the whole thing. Like I said, diminishing returns. You can go a little too far, and then your face goes in the punch bowl or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's way easier to keep a beat when you have a little bit of drink in you, for sure.
And then, I agree.
And the music's so good. And it gets repetitive because you play the same first level. The first level has the same song all the time. And but if you're playing better, then you get to the other levels, you get the other songs. I don't know. It's a good time.
So you know these are a Paragon assets in this game, yeah?
What do you mean?
The game Paragon, that MOBA that was canceled 2 years ago.
Oh, really? That they gave up for free?
Forever.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, all the bosses are Paragon heroes, and some of the enemies are Paragon heroes as well.
Damn, that's awesome, dude. I'm glad that they and look how well it's done too. You know?
Yeah, well, they found a use for it.
Yeah.
All right, so I picked Among Us. I mean, not necessarily for me, but I've just seen a lot of people have a good time with this game while kicking back and indulging on whatever. But it's a social game. And those seem to work a lot better. Kind of a more casual. I don't know.
Yeah,
plus,
for sure.
Out of this whole show, well, don't want to spoil anything, but out of the whole show, Among Us wasn't mentioned once. So I was like, eh, they need a little credit there.
Yeah, for sure. No, all the social games. I mean, that's why we play board games, we're drinking.
Yeah, all the Jackbox games. Those
Jackbox games, all that stuff. That was a good... Yeah. That's probably really the best answer.
Do you guys think that this game would be so popular if it wasn't for the pandemic?
No.
Not as... So. Yeah, not as popular, no.
It's just like exponentially. Like people who have never even heard of a game. Well, that's a little excessive. But they'll download this on their phone, like... My mom will play this game or whatever.
The fucking senator.
Like, can you guys play Among Us?
Well, the real catalyst to this game was a bunch of YouTubers or streamers or something that played it together. And isn't that right?
Yeah.
Shot it up.
A couple of, popular streamers blew it up. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where even a congresswoman played, AOC played, and she raise money for charity or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities, because this is a game that anybody can play. So a lot of like non-gaming celebrities or
It's literally one button and movement, right? I think that's it. Mm-hmm. And then talking, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the real game, I mean, there's some low-level puzzles in it, but the real game is after the fact when you're discussing and talking. So
who's playing, who's played on mobile?
I've played on
mobile. Mobile all the time. Yeah.
My question is, are you talking in voice with everybody else, with strangers?
No.
What's going on?
Just typing.
Oh, just typing? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, just type. There's the best part about this game is like the little community, like, I don't know, those weird moments you have when you play any social game. Rianne named herself Aaron Burr in the game and just communicated in Hamilton lines the whole game.
Damn.
And then... there's a Hamilton fan Reddit and Facebook group, and someone took a screenshot of her and said, "Oh my God, I ran into this person," and they knew. And she was like, "Oh my God, it's me." And now she has lifelong friends to play this with.
That's funny. Cause I'm sure you run that fucking Facebook group. So
I am.
Not that big of a coincidence, dude. Not that big, not that big. Sniper. I remember famously I watched a 40-minute video on how to play Crusader Kings 2, and I still didn't understand how to play the game. How do you play this game?
You get really high and just the details like stop to matter.
Well, we
like
should say his entry was Crusader Kings 3.
Yep.
Crusader Kings 2, I've played it for like 20 minutes. I was like, this is too complicated. Get fucked. Crusader Kings 3, I downloaded it, I sat down, I lit some candles, I was really in the mood, I got super baked, and I was my character. I became the Duke, and then later my son became the King of Russia.
Ooh,
we formed Russia out of the ashes. We killed, we committed incest, we sieged,
nice.
We did everything the game wants you to do. And I don't really know how the game works, it's too complicated, but you can still have a pretty fun time without knowing all the mechanics.
So you only worried about...
What's that?
You and your son were incestual?
No. What happens was my wife had sex with my brother without me knowing. And then I killed her because that was wrong. And then I married, and then I married my daughter because she had a lot of really good traits. And the way the game works is like, okay, this sounds bad, but like, this is important.
What kind of traits? What kind of traits did she have?
Our children probably didn't have the best traits, but she had really good ruler traits. She was very intelligent and beautiful, maybe. So basically,
like Trump.
basically, you have a lot of titles in this game, and the game limits how many titles you can inherit. And if the title goes out of your family, you can never get it back. Now, I was trying to become the King of Russia, so I need to keep all the titles in the family, but everyone that I could marry since I killed my wife was like 40 or 50, and they were already powerful in whatever kingdoms they were from. So when I died, they were going to take my titles and it would go outside. Anyways, I married my daughter, we had babies, and that's the point of the story.
Were any of them have three eyes or anything like that?
No, but you can. If you go to the subreddit, there's a lot of like genetic abnormalities that they put on the like visual screen, like people with missing toes, missing hands, webbed feet, all the Yeah.
Webbed feet doesn't sound so bad. Good swimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a superpower.
All right. Now, Chi, Nick, and Minnie all put the same thing for this category. You all put Cyberpunk 2077. So why don't you comment on that, Minnie?
This is a game that you can just get lost in. Like, I didn't talk about this a few weeks ago when I was talking about it, but the vehicles in this game, like the cars are so well done. And like going into first person mode and looking around inside these like fully modeled cars is awesome. I actually ended up buying like the most expensive car in the game, which I regretted later, but it was kind of like a Cadillac. It looks really nice. Doesn't drive too fast. It's kind of, I wasted money, but what I just liked just going around in the city and just driving around and then just like experiencing the city. Like the city seems so real. And then on top of that, of course, the motorcycles. They had really cool looking motorcycles. Keanu Reeves' brand of motorcycles was in it. And I absolutely just geeked out over that. So I just really like just kind of losing myself into that. Not really going for any objective, but going around the city and looking at stuff. That's why I really think it's really cool to get drunk or high and play this game.
You know, it's funny is Chi's like biggest fault for this game was that basically the game was too immersive and she got too sidetracked. That was her downside of it. And meanwhile, that's your like favorite part of it. And it's probably really her favorite part of doing it when she's drunk. I mean, yeah, like it's fun to do when you're drunk, but you're never going to finish the game. You know what I mean? That was her problem with it, that like she couldn't focus on it.
Yeah, the city just seems so livable.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there. I could see how
hopefully these new updates make it more playable.
Oh, what are the new updates, Benny?
Nothing has been released yet, but they will be updating it. Have teased with a new DLC, but that's it.
Oh, DLC already? Well, you know it's coming. The DLC is coming. Witcher 3 had a bunch of DLC. All right.
Not as much as you think. It was two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were pretty big.
They were big.
Yeah. And they were well made.
Yeah.
Let's go to the listeners here and hear what they have to say for their favorite PC game of the year. This is coming from Jiro, and he says his favorite game was Hades. Hades, popular game. All right, let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey guys, this is Jiro Chomp. My game of the year is Hades. Honestly, the game of the decade. Play it.
All right, short and sweet. Game of the decade.
Damn.
Well, I mean, the decade just ended.
Can't argue, man. It's a good game.
So I guess you can really, you could say what is the best game of the decade? Because 2010 to 2020 is over.
Yeah. I mean, it has the, what is it? The bias of recency or whatever that's called.
Yeah, I suppose so, because it's newer,
but
fresh in the memory.
What is it? Supergiant? Is that who makes it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. So this is how I've described this game to everybody. This is a culmination of years of making games. They took the best parts of all their little games that they have made, which all of them have their nice, they all have their good parts to them. They just took all that experience. There's heavy influences from a lot of their own games, and they just made a masterpiece, and that's what this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
I think it's like only their fourth game, though, that they've released, right?
I want to say fifth. So they have Bastion, they have
Hades, Transistor, Pyre.
Yeah, Pyre.
I want to say it was one more, but it has been like 10 years of development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to say there's one more, but
yeah, I can't think of it either. Yeah. Well, yeah. Great studio. Okay. Next up, Sheer Pwnage. His choice is Crusader Kings 3.
It's exactly what he said. Incest and sieges and murder. Oh my.
It's a common theme, dude. It's really the reason why you play the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next category. All aboard the hype train. So this is the game that you are most hyped for. Not a game that came out recently, but a game that is coming up. There's a lot of games that I'm excited for. I try to go with something a little unique, though, a bit of an underdog here. And I chose Evil Geniuses 2, World Domination. I wasn't even aware of the first one until I heard about this game. I went back, watched some YouTube videos of the first one, kind of got an idea of what the game is. And then the second one looks like that, but bigger, better graphics. And I'm very excited for it. I like the theme of it. I like how it's more of a strategy type game. I tend to favor those more as I get older, but I'm really looking forward to this one. I don't know if we have an exact release date for this yet, but hopefully soon.
It's hard to do. You know, nobody knows if the COVID laws are going to relax a little bit. It's hard to put a number.
Yeah.
And I really hope these guys are really understanding. Don't put a fucking hard date on anything.
It's almost surprising at this point when people do that, like they did for Back for Blood. I was like, really? June 23rd or 22nd? I can't remember what the date is.
Oh, wow. On certain games, though, like she says it's super playable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're almost there anyway. They probably just have to final touches or whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, I always bring this up, but when I read that book about that talked about development and it was talking about the guy who made Stardew Valley, and he said 90% of the work is the last 10% of the game. Mm. So, you know, I'm pretty sure Cyberpunk 2077 was playable for a very long time, and then they've just been working out or ironing out the kinks. But yeah, that is my choice. Emilio, what's your choice?
It would be Binding of Isaac Repentance. I haven't played Binding of Isaac in over probably about a year. You know, you get to a certain point where you just... That's enough. 900 hours or whatever the fuck it is. And I've played... So the reason this game came out was Ed McMillen was done with Binding of Isaac. He was pretty sure. And then some guy went and modded the game. He came out with an entire... almost like a remake based on Rebirth. And he did things with the code, according to McMillan, that they didn't even think was possible. There's all kinds of mechanics that you had never seen before. And I played that game. It was called Rapture, maybe? Maybe that's it. But anyway, so I played it. But for some reason, I always get this thing in my head that, this is not from McMillan, and this is not the actual one. Mm-hmm. And all your achievements don't go towards the real achievements that you're trying to get. And because it's a mod, anytime you mod the game, you can't get real achievements anymore. So even though it was really fun, I just kind of let it go. And then so McMillan hired the guy and they worked together to come up with this. And so we're getting a lot. It's a lot.
That's a cool story, actually.
Yeah, probably double what was in Rebirth. Or as much that came out in Rebirth, which was a lot as well, mm-hmm. Is coming out in this one. And then the co-op, they're really doubling down on the co-op. So, which is what me and Sam do all the time. This was our jam for a long time. So I'm really looking forward to this.
So this is DLC for Rebirth, right?
I don't know how to classify it. It's somewhere between
I'm just going off what the Steam page says here. You have to own Rebirth if you're going to buy this game.
And there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought Rebirth was an expansion, a DLC, but it's not.
So do you have to own Binding of Isaac to get Rebirth? And then you need Repentance to play Rebirth?
Rebirth is basically part two, if I remember right.
Well, I'm understanding, literally, if I don't own any of these games and I want to buy Repentance, I would then have to buy Rebirth. But buy Rebirth, do you have to buy...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you're good with just Rebirth.
Okay. And yeah, it is a standalone game.
Come in. Yeah.
It's a standalone game.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy, all you need.
It says that 500 hours of gameplay, even if you've completed, even if you're at 100,000 million percent.
What was that?
It says it adds 500 hours of gameplay. Oh. Like this.
Yeah.
Repentance.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So there you go.
All right. All right, Sniper, what's your choice for the hypiest hype game of 2021?
The hypiest hype game is Humankind, and I think partly because it looks so good, and partly because what you said when you did, what was that? Open alpha, open beta? What was that?
Yeah, it was an open alpha or an open beta. I can't remember which.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I'm looking for a Civ killer. I didn't really like Civ 6 that much.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
even
did.
Even though when I downloaded the DLCs, it was... It added to the game, but even still, something was missing. Mm-hmm. And this just seems so beautiful. And, like, they fixed a lot of the stuff. The UI looks good. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great-looking game. And the whole conceit of this game is you're forging your own path for humankind. So you can literally change human history. Mm-hmm. And you can watch the world basically develop in a different direction.
That's great.
Like, yeah, it's like an alternate history simulator.
That's awesome.
It looks really promising. I'm just a little worried because I know how picky 4X strategy game players are. Like, they are just hard people to please. So yeah. I hope it's well received. I hope it's done well. This has a release date for April 22nd, 2021. So not that far away.
I would say it looks pleasant, man. Like the color palette.
Yes.
Just alone. I feel like I could look at the screen for hours, and that's what you're going to be doing, right?
Exactly. This will be 2021 game to get baked and play. Like, how many hours?
No, wind says, throws his computer on the ground.
Or, like, man, my most cherished gaming moments are in Civ, honestly, with, like, real people playing multiplayer. And it was so disappointing when 6 came out that, like, this has to be the most hyped game.
Does this have a multiplayer?
Yeah, this is going to have multiplayer. Yeah.
That's a... Who are these people? Who's trying to do this? Amplitude?
It was like...
What else have they done? This is lofty,
what else,
man,
have they done?
Oh, they've done the Endless.
Oh! Yeah. Dude, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. This is a great developer.
Yeah, they've got a lot of experience in this.
Yeah. You're going to be fine. This is going to be a good game. Fuck, who did this in our... our draft. I didn't know that. Who picked Humankind?
I put it in our draft, and I'm going to win. I'd have this. I have Back for Blood. I'm a winner. Okay.
A winner. But
the cool thing about this is they weren't always with Amplitude Studios. This started as one guy's pet project.
Hmm.
So I'm actually surprised to see this. I haven't been to the store page. I haven't looked into it in a long time. But this wasn't a part of the Endless series, right?
No, so. I don't think so. All the Endless games are in the Endless universe, which is, you know, they have the same races and all that stuff, and it's like a universe, but this is a game outside of that.
Exactly. Yeah, and I remember looking at this when it first came out, and it was just one guy, and he's like, this is my blog post, this is my idea for a game, and people were like, yes, we need it. So they must have got picked up. If so, that's a cool story.
That is a cool story. Nice. As well.
All right, Mini, your choice was System Shock Remastered.
Yeah, and I really hope this game comes out this year, because it seems like it's been pushed back so much. Like, they canceled development for a while. I think, like, all of 2019, they canceled development for it. But I've been looking forward to it since, I think, I first heard about it, like, 2017. But I just really love the System Shock games. The first one came out, like, right after Doom in, like, 94. And then this System Shock 2 came out right after Half-Life in 99, I believe it was. And then, like, these games, like, they've done, 4K upscaling, new graphics and stuff. But, like, they haven't done, like, a full remaster of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm excited for. Because the first one was, it's kind of like what inspired Bioshock. Bioshock gives a lot of credit to System Shock 1 and 2 as a... first-person shooter that's also partly RPG and inventory management stuff, getting health packs and storing them, ammo, stuff like that. And yeah, I really hope this comes close to what the Half-Life remake came out to be. Just anywhere near that, and I would be so happy.
Have you played this demo?
I played a little bit of it, but that was a long time ago, so I don't know how much it changed. I think that came out like 6 months ago.
Gotcha.
Mini, I'm pleased to announce this is already out. Release date 2020. You're good, bro.
No.
Yeah.
They just haven't updated the Steam page, apparently.
Yeah, they just haven't updated the Steam page, but it still says 2020.
Wow. So. It also says coming soon.
Son of a bitch.
But yeah, this the development just straight up got stopped on this, like just came to a full stop. I remember that. And then I guess it got picked up again.
Have you played System Shock, Bobby?
Yeah, the old ones.
I haven't played them.
Yeah, they were great. I think it was the same person as BioShock, Ken Levine. Was it the same person? I think so. I can't quite remember the history of all that, who all was involved. But yeah, it was one of those first games to really mix like RPG and first-person shooter. And then, of course, Deus Ex with really did that well, like 2000, I think that game came out. But yeah, like a lot of those developers from the 90s, I think, were involved in that. But yeah, those games were great, and everybody's waiting to play. BioShock came out, and that kind of went more down the first-person shooter route. Like, that felt more like an FPS and an RPG, although there are some RPG elements in it.
Yeah, they had a little bit of upgrade stuff, but yeah, it was definitely more shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. This is a tough one to hang your hat on, because it's just, there's a lot of things that could go wrong for this.
It's all hope. That's what I'm hanging on, just hope.
Nick chose Ghostwire Tokyo. Not sure what that is. Maybe we should have brought him in for this part. But and then the other one is got Baldur's Gate 3, which, yeah, that's the... You kind of forget that it's coming out, because we kind of played it, and what I played was really good.
Yeah, there just wasn't very much of it.
Yeah. Did you get all the way through the demo?
No, I didn't even play it.
I kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was a good game. A lot of still buggy. I think they came out with a new update a couple months ago. They killed a lot of bugs, but I haven't played that one yet.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, it looks promising. It's from Larian Studios, the guys behind Divinity, Original Sin 1 and 2. So, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great. They just need to finish the game. And unfortunately, I mean, you got to understand it from their perspective. You know, these games are not easy to make. But it's the same thing with Divinity 1 and Divinity 2. Like, it's the game's not like the game that it is in all its gloriousness until...
They're like fine wines.
Yeah.
They get better with age.
You got to wait a little while until you get the enhanced version.
Yeah.
And that's the real deal right there. So it's a long, slow process that everybody is kind of along for the ride with. It's not one of those games that just come out and boom, there it is, right off the shelf.
But we should have played the hype train. I mean, the crazy train intro at the beginning of this one.
Yeah.
We got to bring this energy level up. Everybody sounds like they're about to fall asleep.
All right. Well, maybe Hinks can do that with his game of the year choice, Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. Somebody had to do it. Flight Sim 2020. I actually have been hearing a lot of great things about this game, particularly the graphics. Yeah. Now, he submitted a voice recording. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Hi, guys. Hinks here from the other side of the pond. I'm a big fan of the podcast. It's kept me sane through the numerous lockdowns that we've had over here. Getting to the point, my favorite game, and it's not technically a game, is Microsoft Flight Simulator. Now, the new release is a huge improvement on its predecessor. It's got absolutely stunning visuals. It looks great on the new NVIDIA cards, if you can get one. For me, I'm a big fan of the always-on multiplayer, and the live air traffic's also really cool for an avid plane nerd like myself. Whilst I said it's not technically a game, they have added plenty of landing challenges as well, which keeps it fun to, you know, pick up when you haven't got a lot of time. Thanks, guys. All the best.
All right. So, Sniper, Flight Stick guy, what do you think?
Now that you're a professional.
My one experience with this game is my grandpa played at Microsoft Flight Simulators till he died, dude, for like 14 hours a day. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, oh, you know, Tokyo to London. Like, whatever. I actually do the full hour flight all the time. You just sit there. Man. And people do that. They find it fun. I don't really understand it, I guess. I don't know.
What
do
you guys 100% think? Say it's a game, though. I would. Yeah, it's a game for sure.
It's a game. Yeah.
Sure, why not? I mean, I
think people are going to play this one more than any other flight sim in history.
Dude, my favorite line about this one was, I think the size of the game, I think it's like 50 gigs or something like that. It's like Modern Warfare 3 is 120 gigs, Flight Simulator has the entire world in it and is 50 gigs. Like, they took all their information from Google Maps and just fucking poured it onto the fucking, you know, into the game, and you can go anywhere. You can fly to your house and crash into it. And that's, I mean, that level of immersion is fantastic. I always wanted to
think Bing Maps, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was it?
Oh, Bing Maps, tough game. I appreciate the Bing.
Can you fly a plane into the Twin Towers?
Ooh.
Whoa, Bobby. No.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Emilio says, turn it up, Bobby.
Yeah.
You've unleashed something.
That was a horrible joke, and I apologize. Oh boy! I'll tender my.
I'm sure you can, though. I'm sure. I'm like.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they don't exist anymore. Yeah, I see Kurt saying it in chat. They don't exist anymore. So if the Google Maps are up to date, then yeah, that can't happen. Well, I'm more of a
train. Maps are pretty out of date, so maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe you get an old one. They didn't even have Google Maps back then. You get like a MapQuest or something. But anyway, I'm more of a train simulator guy. Like, honestly, like, I've always really wanted to, like, kind of get into that a little, not like crazy, but play around with the train simulator games. They've got even one DLC for the train, I don't know, like, whatever the big train sim game is. You basically buy the game, but then you have to get all the DLC. But they have one that goes from, like, somewhere to San Diego. But is that, Sniper, why don't you scroll down a little bit? Is that how this game is, where you buy a bunch of DLC? Because I'm seeing the base game is $80.
Canadian.
No, I think he's adjusted it.
Either way, it's free on...
No, it is Canadian.
Yeah, it's free on...
$60 US.
It's free on Game Pass.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, so...
But they do have a premium deluxe version. I wonder what you get in that. But they don't... Yeah, because the train sim game, like, nickels and dimes you. Like, you buy the base game, then you gotta, like, spend quite a bit of money for each.
Yeah, dude.
I can't imagine, like, what the fuck is in a train? You fucking go and then you stop. Like, what?
I'm sure driving a train's more complicated than that.
I think that's it, Bobby. Dude, I'm pretty sure that's it.
Bobby,
I was thinking the same thing, Emilio.
Yeah.
The problem with the train game is you can't play it because you actually need a train stick to fully immerse yourself with all the buttons and dials.
And they don't put the towers right on the tracks for you either, dude.
Okay. Wow. Little train lever. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. Microsoft Flight Sim. Maybe I'll try it out one day. But I do hear, like, if you have RTX, like he was saying, if you have RTX, this game looks beautiful, like in a good monitor, and it's a stunning game.
My brother-in-law is, you know, he was talking about this. He hasn't played a PC game in a long time, so he brings it up all the time that he would love to build a PC to play this. And I was like, well, I could get it, but, like, fucking, I don't have the room on my computer, so sorry, you're fucked. And he was talking about how, what was I going to say? Oh, I sent them pictures of people's rigs that they're building for this, right? And some people have a full cockpit in their house, like a whole... The whole thing with all the knobs and all the shit.
Yeah, man, those people are mega nerds.
Yeah. And I was like, I sent him a picture. I was like, what about this setup? And he's like, why wouldn't I just buy a Cessna?
Well, you're not going to die in one of these. Yeah, that's true. That's crazy, dude.
By the way.
This is pretty crazy. My grandpa had like a proper setup with the monitors around, and he had different boards for the different dials, but nothing like this is intense.
Yeah.
You could actually learn to fly on that.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, brother-in-law, you met Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
know Christian. Yes. He flies the drones.
Him and his co-pilot, they used to fly banners around San Diego.
Oh, okay.
100%. One, like, they both swear up and down, totally UFO experience, man. Pretty crazy. They've told it to me a few times, how they saw this reflective floating sphere and moving around unnaturally, and then it took off.
Wow. Well, did you see the Pentagon has 180 days to release any information they have about UFOs?
Yeah, like, I believe it's legally 30 days, like more than 40 days have passed since that declaration was made, right?
Yeah, so I mean, we're gonna find out soon. I don't know. If people learn about aliens, I feel like the world is gonna end. Like,
yeah, I don't know if we can deal with that right now. We're basically living through season two of 2020 right now. It's not going well, guys.
Yeah.
But hey, the truth is out there. All right. Maven, his choice for game of the year is Squad. And he says, Squad is a 50 versus 50 battlefield sim with lots to explore and many roles to fill. Lots of little moments add up to make it a great group game. So this has kind of been on my radar for a while here.
Because
first off, when we interviewed Evan Lottie, like, I don't know, years ago, one of the things we asked him was, what's a game that you are most excited for, like, that's coming out? And this was his answer. He was really excited about Squad. And based off of what people have said and what I've seen on streams, this really reminds me a lot of Battlefield games. I really like the Battlefield games. I stopped playing around 4. I don't know what it was. Just they kind of changed a little bit for me. But this really reminds me of the Battlefield games.
They're a lot more simulation, right?
They're like a military sim, but not as hardcore as like Arma. Because I can't do Arma.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, especially with all the mods.
Yeah. It's a great looking game, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next category. PC Master Race problems. Yep, we got them. All right. The best game I didn't play because it was not on a PC. So being PC gamers, if you're a true PC gamer, then
you
don't play consoles. You don't have anything to do with it.
You actually piss on everyone you see.
but that unfortunately means that you miss out on some games, some good games too. So my choice for this was Animal Crossing New Horizon. It looked like a nice, fun, casual, relaxing game. Really liked the look of it. Looked like something I could play with my girlfriend. But
oh my God,
I don't touch console games.
You would never play this game. You would never play this game.
Really?
With all those, you would never play this game.
What makes you say that? Because I've spent quite a bit of time in Stardew Valley.
This is like a million times simpler than Stardew Valley. Like, if you like making patterns and putting them on your clothes and doing that for 3 hours, you will play this game.
So you're Do you like, it sounds like you're not a fan of this game, Sniper.
No. It's just no, me personally, no. But for other people, it's great. People who like to design and
make their things look
cute and stuff.
Okay.
But you would never play this game. There's no grind. That you just invite people to your island. Like,
and collect stuff, right?
Just like a decoration sim.
If you played this game, Bobby, your head would explode in real life, actually. So, yeah.
All right. Maybe it would. Emilio, what'd you put?
Bobby, I think you should get a Switch. Just between you and your girlfriend, you could play a bunch of stuff.
I would if they were like their actual MSRP price, but
they are now, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think you can get them at regular price now.
I think the last time I checked was like a few months ago, and they were still gouged.
Let's see. What's Amazon got? Because my buddy, he called me for video game advice for his kids. And by the way, I like being that guy. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I can do that. But yeah, he was giving me regular prices.
So. You should have told them Crusader Kings 3.
Looks like they're $400 Canadian, which is going to be 300 US. Yeah, so.
There you go.
Is that 300 US?
Yeah.
Around that. Yeah.
So The Last of Us 2 is my answer. I mean, it got Game of the Year, and I love zombie games. And even though they're made out of plants, they're still zombies. I watched the movie of the first one, you know, that's basically just somebody who edited all the cutscenes into one. It was like 4 hours long. I watched that bitch. I watched all of it. And man, the twist ending is, you know, really good and not something I saw coming. And I thought that, you know, and how does that play out into this one? And so I was looking forward to that, but I won't know. I just want to borrow somebody's fucking PS just so I could do this one game.
Maybe you can get a used PS4 now since the fives are out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. And in Sniper, it looks like this was also your choice.
Yeah. So my sister, Sasha, she's not a gamer. She's never owned, like, she plays Among Us sometimes, and she's played tabletop with us a couple times. But she watches the compilations like Emilio does of like story games like this, and she said this was better than a movie when she watched it on YouTube. Like, and for a game to do that, even if you're watching someone play a game and it does that to you, it makes you feel those things. I feel like that's definitely an achievement, but yeah, I won't be playing this. So
I saw Warconis, he was streaming the Last of Us 1. It was the very beginning. I believe it was one. And it was the very beginning, and he's just like so heavy, so quick. He's just like, oh my God. Oh my God. He's like, he had to pause it and like take some breaths. I was the only person watching the stream, but it was like, fuck man. Like he's really going through this emotional thing. And it's like, you know, fucking super heavy, and not, I don't know, joking in any way, just seriously taken to be taken seriously. And they pulled it off. That's hard to do.
Yeah. It's probably sure. Like,
well, it did do very well at the Video Game Awards.
Yeah.
Pretty much cleaned up there.
No interest, Bobby?
I mean, it's not
mild, right?
Really,
come on.
Like, maybe. I don't really see myself having the time to invest in a game like this.
And not when Jason has 15 movies. I lost it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Minnie, what was your choice for the best game you didn't play because it wasn't on PC?
It was the Final Fantasy VII Remake. I feel like that game is, it just looks awesome. It's like they took the old concept of the very old school RPG of the battle system being like back and forth to making it like really cool action. And that game just looks so good.
We are going to get it, right?
What's that?
We're going to get that title, aren't we?
I heard we are, but yeah. I don't know. No confirmation.
A lot of the Final Fantasy games do make their way to PC, although there's usually some technical problems like frame caps and whatever. Yeah, you know what I like about this game is they could have totally just made like a standard remake, maybe upgraded the graphics or whatever. But they changed quite a bit. You talked about the combat system. They also changed a little bit of the story too, didn't they? Like, didn't they mess
with
that?
Yeah, the story
that?
Is more centered around like the spirit of the earth, I believe. And they kind of touched up on that on the first game. They talked about like the spirit being like a living entity, but now it's like there's actually spirits in the earth that kind of like infuse with other things in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that's like an incredibly ballsy move to make to tamper with a classic like that. But it sounds like they really had an idea of what they were doing with it, and it came out good.
How did this land? I don't know what the reviews were like.
I think there was like, well, I don't know. Minnie probably knows more than me, but I kind of felt like there was an initial shock, like, oh, they changed quite a bit in this, but then overall people really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely an overall loved game, and they kind of broke it up. I think they break it up into like three chapters now. Instead of being like one whole game, they're doing like three segments.
Can you get us a Metacritic?
How the old discs used to be. What's that?
Can you get us a Metacritic, Christian? Or OpenCritic?
I'm
just curious how it landed. And
7 is like the everyone agrees is the best Final Fantasy, right?
I think so.
It's the most beloved. Yeah, it's kind of like the most beloved game.
Oh man, 95% of critics recommend. That's
pretty good.
Well, dang.
Yep.
All right. So Nick's choice for this is Demon's Souls on the PlayStation. Now, is this another Dark Souls type game?
I believe
this is the original Dark Souls. The Demon's Souls is like the first one that came out.
Is it a remaster?
Like 2010? Yeah, this is a remaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're remastering it. Yeah, this would be a huge hit. Not a big fan of Dark Souls games, so. All right, that's a very lovely scarf you've got there, Christian. Sniper.
Thanks. Yeah, this is what you don't usually see, but it happens every time I'm here doing the podcast. This cat loves me, dude. Like, seriously, I'm its mother.
Wow. okay, and then Chi's choice was Ghost of Tsushima. Now, this game, I've heard a lot of people speak highly of this game, but from what I can tell of it, just a little bit that I've seen of it, it reminds me a little bit of Dynasty Warriors. Is that the right game that I'm comparing it to? A lot probably. Of people, kind of like a 3D action game, a lot of people fighting them all at once. But there is a lot of like more, there's a lot more like adventure to it. It's not just all combat. And the game looks stunning too. Great looking game. Yeah, this probably isn't the most exciting category because I just don't know that much about console games.
Yeah, neither do I.
All right.
Not sure any of us do.
Well, let's hear from Warconius here. So he says his favorite game of the year is The Last of Us Part Two. Not a PC game, but, you know, that does work for this category we're talking about here. So let's see what he's got to say about it.
Hey, Warconius here. First off, I gotta say, 2020, what a bummer of a year. But the DLG team kept episodes coming week after week, despite challenge after challenge. Man, love you guys for it. It made the year bearable, and don't think it's not appreciated. Much love. 2020 games of the year. Honorable mentions to Star Wars Squadrons, finally a good Star Wars game. Gears Tactics, surprisingly good. Ori, Will of the Wisp, amazing game. Probably one of Microsoft's best games in a while. And Ghost of Tsushima was really, really good as well. But I'm going to have to give it to Last of Us Part 2. The story was amazing. I think it's like really well written. The graphics are so good. But man, Naughty Dog has really nailed third-person shooting and action, and they've really taken it next level. I'd say better than Rockstar, better than some of the other third-person action games out there, and that's my game of the year.
All right, awesome. So another shout-out for Star Wars Squadrons, Ori and the Will of the Wisp. What did he mean? He mentioned another game that we had not brought up yet, Gears Tactics.
I'm glad that was great. Yeah. That was my favorite Tactics game of the year for sure.
Yeah. Glad he mentioned that one because, yeah, that was a good game. And nobody really mentions it like game of the year. Like, it's not going to, I don't think anyone's going to consider it.
A little under the radar, dude. And free on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. Bobby, you should totally fucking try it.
Yeah, I should have when I had Game Pass.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's $1, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be pissed because I was like 15 to 30 second voice clips and Warconius coming in at like, whatever, 2:30. But
it's Warconius, man.
He's earned it.
Yeah, no, we knew that and we knew it was going to be good. So whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, Last of Us Part Two, just an undeniably great game, apparently.
Yeah.
That will never come to PC. Well, PlayStation Now allows you to play PlayStation games on PC, right?
Right.
But yeah, not all of them.
It's like it's a strange streaming service where you like they stream the game to you.
Okay.
Like GameTap used to be back in like 2007. Yeah.
So like a Stadia or a GeForce. Right. GeForce. What?
Now I think it is.
Yeah. GeForce Now.
Not all games are on. Like not. It's very limited, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn came over, so maybe more PlayStation get at it. Hopefully it was, you know, they made some money on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like they haven't really marketed it that well because not a lot of people know about it. Like, I barely know about it. I always forget that that exists.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we don't have any voice recording or message with this, but we did have one listener, Dan, write in and say his game of the year was Hades. So another vote for Hades.
There we go. Dude, this is so... The next line in our notes is Minnie goes out, Nick comes in, all red, giant letters. So, man, that is rude.
Very abrupt.
Yeah. All right. Well, Minnie, thank you for joining us. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on games of 2020. And we'll be seeing you around again, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll see you guys later.
Later, all right. Man.
Bye, love her.
All right, and Nick's going to come in and join us here as soon as he turns on his webcam.
Yeah. Oh, not masturbating, not jerking off. Man, if you drag me in here, it would be bad, like just randomly. I'd be compromised.
Why would you have your webcam on and be in Discord? you're kind of asking for it.
Yeah. All right. It's kinky that way, you know.
Welcome, Nick. We're going to pick it up with our next topic here. Too rich for my blood.
Talk to Nick for a second. Nick, what do you think of the show so far? Do you have anything?
I think it's great. I'm really upset that no one's in a tuxedo. We're missing the long Bob Barker microphones.
That's so true.
We We should have done it up this year, but next year we'll do it. I'll be there in person. I promise.
This is the most we've ever done for a Game of the Year episode. Usually it's just like, what's everyone's Game of the Year? No, you're wrong because of this. You're wrong because of that. And then we come to a conclusion that nobody's happy about. And then that's that.
Isn't it usually you that's not happy about it, though? Like, isn't that the caveat? True.
No, what usually happens is, like, we've got an Oscar situation where, like, the best choices cancel each other out, and then we go with the one that everyone's kind of like, I guess.
That's what happened last year, for sure.
All right. Okay, so next category, Too Rich for My Blood. Now, these are games that we would have bought if they were cheaper. So, great games, too expensive. My choice was Parkasaurus. Parkasaurus looks like a fantastic game. It is a simulation game where you run a zoo of dinosaurs. The animation is great. It's got this fun, childlike animation, I'd say. You'd see this on, like, TV shows for kids. The reviews were outstanding for it. It's got dinosaurs, looks amazing, but $25, I don't know.
The fuck, dude?
Looks amazing, overwhelmingly positive. The best thing ever put the screen. $25. What do you think? It's not worth its weight in popcorn.
I would have paid for it if it was 30 pesos, but not dollars, okay?
No way.
I
have to get a Parkasaurus?
I don't know. Like, maybe it'll be on sale soon. Well, all right. Well, let's see what you guys pick. So, Emilio, what's your choice?
Desperados 3. It came out. It had overwhelming reviews. It was $50. And then I was like, why is this getting such good reviews? And then I looked down their category, their list of games that they had made. And they also made basically the exact same game, but with samurais. I forget what it's called. Help me out here.
Shadow Tactics.
Samurados.
Yeah. So I played Shadow Tactics. It's the exact same game, just set in a... And it was like... I think I paid... it was cheap. It was like $3 to $7. And I played it. Oh. I bought it and I was like, this is fucking... I'm getting the exact same experience for like way less money. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, I still have it installed. It's a great game.
Did they give that game away for free on
Epic? Maybe that's
Epic?
What it was.
No, because you would have known if you played it on Epic. I don't know. That might have been one of the free games on Epic at some point. I'm not sure, because I feel like I have Shadow Tactics.
So it's a fantastic fucking game, and I'm sure Desperados is, but I'm just going to wait fucking 5 years and wait for it to be fucking $5 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Sniper, what's your choice?
I've got Mountain Blade 2, which looks amazing. Everyone's having a lot of fun with it when it first came out. You guys talked about this, right? You're a band of one person, and you grow, you hire, you sell, you go across the countryside.
Can't be a band of one person, dude. What are you, a one-man wolf pack, dude? What are you talking about, man? Are you baked right now, dude?
No, you start off as one person and you grow your band and you can get up to like a king and rule a big patch of land, but it's in first person. I don't know. The concept is super cool.
Yeah.
But it's $65, which is a fuck ton.
Yeah.
And it's an early access, so just going to wait for this one, maybe pick it up on a sale.
Dude, when I went to Canada Land, and so your dollars are, well, at the time, your dollars were weaker than our dollars. And we were like, fucking, this is groovy, man. Like, it's like we're playing with Monopoly money over here. This is great. It wasn't much, maybe like 80% or something like that. But it was nice paying less for shit. Yeah. But the number is higher a lot of the time, so.
The number is higher, but yeah, the value is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The U.S., I've heard of places that are so, I guess it's like state to state. Like San Diego is comparative, seems right to like all of Canada. Feels like that's the value you get wherever you go in Canada. But like Minnesota, someone's telling me like a 60 of vodka is like $12 or something. Like just ridiculous numbers.
It's a 60 of vodka.
60 million.
60 what, dude? Goddamn.
60 liters, say.
You don't know the terminology? 60?
No.
A 40, a 60?
No, man.
You talking about ounces?
I don't think we have
these numbers mean anything to you. A 60, a 40.
We know, like, a 40 of beer, you know, yeah, like you take it to your hands and then
you... What are you talking about,
these are
dude?
All measurements. These are all
40
are all
what?
Measurements of...
Milliliters? That's not right.
On the spot. I don't know. I've just always called it a 60.
No. A 40 is a 40 ounce.
I'm
going to
Google real quick.
Yeah,
60
obviously.
Is a 40
ounce. So I'm guessing a 60 is a 60 ounce. Are you talking about the strength of the liquor?
No.
Oh, no. It's a 60,
no, it's
60
ounces,
fluid ounces. 60,
he's definitely talking about measurements, but I don't know what he's measuring.
No, we have like 40s.
It's ounces. It's ounces, you heathens. Don't you guys use ounces, though?
Yeah, we do, but nobody says a 60. Like, I'm going to get a 60 of something. I've never heard that
before. A 60
before.
Is a Texas Mickey. That's the biggest one you can buy.
Oh, okay. My God. Hold up.
Oh, Texas, you're talking about beers.
Mickey.
No. It's hard alcohol. This is only in hard alcohol.
Oh, he's talking about, like, the Costco size of fucking alcohol. You know, like the ridiculous
like
Patron bottles
milliliter?
And shit like,
oh, like
that.
A handle?
This segment was for you, my fellow Canadian.
A handle. That's what it is, a handle.
Yeah, so we'd call it a handle. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
You know why we call it a handle? Because it has a handle on it, man. It's fucking easy. fucking 60 what, dude? Cubic? What are you talking about? It's not ounces.
Okay, the 60 container, it's ounces. The 60 has 60 ounces. The 40 has 40 ounces. The 2.6 is 26 ounces.
Well, on liquor bottles, we measure in milliliters. So I don't know what that is for ounces.
Yeah.
God.
Like, I know it's a 750, and then I'm not even sure what's in
it. Let's move on. I'm getting a headache.
Okay. So Mountain Blade 2, Banner Lord, that's probably, what, like $60 American?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a high price tag. But a lot of people like that game. It is still in early access, though. And I don't know, someone in chat saying the price is going to go up when it reaches 1.0. So maybe buy now, buy cheap. Nick, what is your choice for the game that was too expensive to buy this year?
This happens to me every year when they release one of these games, and that's Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I like Assassin's Creed. It's a mindless game that you can play when you get back home from work. You know, press, you know, one button to make sure you live from a 50-yard fall. But I think Assassin's Creed games, because same thing with Call of Duty games, they shouldn't be $60. They should be like 40 or 30, because they come out like every fucking year.
Yeah, every single year.
And
they're like, reusing a lot of their assets.
I would buy Assassin's Creed if it was $40.
They're reusing a lot of their assets too, man. Like, they're not building a game from scratch every single time. It's a lot of time it's the same engine. They're just, you know, polishing up here and there. So yeah, Bobby used to say a long time ago that you can skip every other year, or every time.
That's what I said that about the Call of Duty games. I was like, you play every other year. And then after a while, I was like, you play once every 4 years. And then now I pretty much haven't played a Call of Duty game since Ghosts. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But that's a good decision there. Assassin's Creed games, I've always said they come out too often. Like, we don't need one of these every year.
It's no $25, but...
All right. And Mini's entry for this was Boneworks at $30.
Yeah,
but Boneworks was the game that he chose, which I've heard is a great VR game.
It's like Half-Life Alyx, just kind of like curb stomps Boneworks, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I don't know. A lot of people really like Boneworks.
Yeah.
You said it's $30, like you're defending your $25 choice, but you have to buy the fucking VR headset, dude. Like, you can't just ignore that.
Well, he already has the VR headset, so I don't know. But
he wasn't born with one on his head, dude. He had to buy it.
He's a better human being than you, Snapper, because he has a VR headset. Okay.
Oh shit. So that's true.
All right. And Chi's decision was Death Stranding, $60. Too expensive for her. I kind of get that, but because this game is probably not going to go on sale. You know, I don't see this game going on sale below $50, not within the next 5 years.
Did you continue to play it after the 5 hours you put
in? Not yet.
Cool.
Yeah, but no, this is a game that you are going to get a lot of time out of, So I don't know. I mean, it kind of, I'm sure it would even out.
And you could definitely see the money that went into it also, right? The production values.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a well-made game.
Yeah.
But I kind of understand her choice here because this is not a game that's ever going on sale. Parkasaurus probably going to go on sale. This one, not
to what, $2.50?
One day.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I'll buy it at $2.50. That's a buy.
Nick, you drinking?
Yeah, I have been.
All right, good. Let's keep going.
All right. Well, let's listen to some more listeners here and listen to some listeners. Should have thought about that before I said it.
No, I mean, it's accurate.
Yep. Let's see what they have to say for their favorite game of the year. We've got another vote for Hades, and this is coming from Old Man Dave. He says, I've never enjoyed sucking at a game as much as I have Hades. Great characters, run off, kill stuff, die, rinse and repeat. What's not to love? So this kind of ties into what you're saying earlier, Amelia. I haven't played this game, but it sounds like it's difficult. It's difficult to beat, but you enjoy the journey so much that it doesn't really matter that you're not beating it.
Yeah, and other games have done this. Everspace did it where it was a roguelike as well, and you were just cloning. There was a computer that was cloning you, the captain, over and over, so you had infinite tries. You know, you would just send you out on another ship. So that's how they put your infinite tries in the roguelike into the story. In this, it fits so well because you're a demigod. You're the son of Hades, and you can't really die. You're just really born. So every time you die, your character, he's right along with you. He's like, well, time to die again, and everybody around you knows the deal as well. That's the part of the roguelike that nobody else has done. Everybody's in on the game. Everybody knows that you're trying to escape Hades. Some of them are trying to help you. Some are trying to, they're against you. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue all fits into that. And that's really original. It's almost like they're rooting you on, and it's almost like a, yeah, everybody's playing. Everybody knows what the game's going on.
But didn't Everspace do something like that? Like they had an explanation as to why you were trying over and over again?
That's what I just said. Yeah, it was a computer that cloned you over and over.
Oh, I thought you said that about Hades.
No, no.
Okay.
That's how Everspace does it.
Yeah. And what was the one that I really liked? Rogue Legacy. That was your ancestor.
That was your ancestor.
Yeah, so that was
right.
Their explanation. Yeah. So, yeah, it's always fun when they do that. You know what? I'm reading chat here. Kurt the Apes says Death Stranding was $30 on Steam during the winter sale. So it looks like that game was a lot cheaper, half price.
That's funny because that's when you got it for a gift. So I don't think you got the full, you know?
Got it out of the discount bin. My goodness.
Take away a little bit of appreciation.
Tone it down a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. $30 is like, yeah, that's a steal for that game. Wow, I'm surprised it was that cheap because it came out not that long ago, I guess within the year.
3 years ago? 2 years ago?
No, it came out this year.
This year?
It? Yeah.
What? At the very beginning, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure on the exact release date. Okay, we've got another entry here from JP Diddy. He says his favorite game of the year is Remnant from the Ashes. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey guys, JP Diddy here. For my game of the year, I want to throw out Remnant from the Ashes. Although technically it was a 2019 release, it was late 2019. I don't think it got the recognition it deserved. Moreover, 2020 saw two amazing DLC releases with Swamps of the Corsus as well as Subject 2923. Remnant by itself was an amazing game with tons of fun cooperative gameplay with buddies, a really challenging environment, fun builds you could create and adapt to. And then the DLCs just added more campaign content. They added alternate game modes with adventure mode and even the roguelike version of the game that let you start fresh and rinse, die, repeat that everybody loves so much, especially Emilio. This was a great game for me this past year, very memorable, and I really look forward to playing more of it as the opportunity arises with friends or they release more content. For me, easily my game of the year. Anyway, hope this helps. Really appreciate you guys. Thanks. Take care.
And awesome. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the the bias of recency or whatever it is. This was, I played the fuck out of this. I beat the first game. I beat the DLCs all with JP Diddy. I gushed about this all year long, basically. The beginning of the year. This is a great fucking game.
How many people can you co-op with?
Three. Three total.
Three total. Okay.
Yeah. They put a roguelike, a co-op roguelike into a game that I had already loved. I mean, had I really thought about it, I might have, this would have been in a front runner as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, technically didn't come out in 2020, but late 2019, plus they had the DLC that really added to the game. And yeah, they gave this game away for free on Epic too. Like that's crazy. Not the DLC, but the game itself. But yeah, great game. Have yet to play it. I'll get to this,
Bobby. If you do end up playing it, let me know. And I haven't played co-op before, so I'll definitely play it with you if you want to.
Okay,
It's a game that I have installed. I just don't play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we could play the roguelike part just so you can get the mechanics down, and that's just fun. I'll jump into any version. Like when he was talking about the different builds you can make. If I remember right, we had our own characters and we played completely different versions of what we did. So every single time a new or more powerful item came in, he would try to upgrade to that and then start upgrading that. And so he played it more traditionally where he was upgrading his shit every time he got something new. I liked my original set of armor so much that all I did was pour money and upgrades into what I was, my base armor. And I played that all the way to the end. And I kind of shoehorned a melee build where, mm-hmm. the game doesn't really want you to do that, but I pulled it off. I was able to do it.
So you feel like you weren't... You weren't nerfing yourself by doing that? I might have,
but I would definitely did not. I wasn't super underpowered or anything. We might have been like 1A, 1B, It was just like, I was glad that I could do what I wanted to, and it worked. And it was probably not something that very many people do, but that option was there. And that's just one of the very many, many, many things that are good about this game.
Yeah. Great game. Hopefully everyone got it for free when it was on Epic's giveaway. All right, next category. This next category is called What the Hell Happened? Now, this is for the most disappointing game of the year. Not necessarily the worst game of the year, but the game that maybe you had some high hopes for and just didn't quite add up to what you wanted. So my decision for this, I had a couple of them. But I eventually decided on Kentucky Route Zero because I had heard such great things about this game for such a long time. They had chapters. They released them very sporadically. And then the final chapter was released this last year, 2020. And what makes this so awkward is Sam Barlow, maker of Telling Lies and Her Story, who we interviewed about a year ago, loves this game, was all over Twitter during the Game Awards talking about how this game should win so many awards and was so great. But I just did not get it. I did not get this game. Did not like it at all. So I don't know.
What didn't you get? What didn't you get?
I talked about it when I played the game. But basically, it wasn't what I was expecting. There's no puzzles. It's a bit of a walking sim. It's very abstract. It doesn't... not in like a good way. I don't know. It was just a little too far out there for me. I was expecting something a little more grounded. I just, quite frankly, I was bored with it. Like I got bored about I played about halfway through it. Maybe, if you want to watch like somebody express that a little more articulately, if you watch, Yahtzee Croshaw, Zero Punctuation, his show. Like, I think he, of course, more humorously made the same points that I really felt about this game. But yeah, that was the biggest disappointment for me this year. Now, some people kind of cheated here and refused to participate. Sniper says they're all good, no communists allowed. So I guess you're not going to tell us. And then Chi said she doesn't make poor gaming choices. Which, okay.
Nick, Warcraft 3 Reforged? Bobby loves that game.
I think this is something that I'm looking at with like retro goggles, in the sense of like, I grew up playing Warcraft 3. I'd get off of like, I'd leave school or get out of football practice and come home and play hours and hours of tower defenses and Dota and Hero Wars and just so much stuff. And I was, me and my friends were all so excited. Like, of the 8 core friends I have, 6 of us bought the game because we all played it as kids, and we were just so excited. We thought we were going to get, like, you know, new cutscenes, a whole revamped custom games mode. And when it landed, it was so bad. Like, we couldn't play custom games for like 2 weeks.
That's weird. The custom games were the limited only thing. That was the only thing that worked for me when I first played, because I pre-purchased it, played it day one, and yeah, nothing was working except the custom games. That was the only thing that did work for me for like a day or two.
The only custom game that we did end up playing was like Gem Tower Defense, because it was the only one that was stable. And everything else just kept crashing every time, well, either Bobby, for like 1 or 6 of us.
Bobby, you were trying playing with randos, and he was probably trying to hook up with friends, right?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know how late after release it was, but Sniper and I played quite a few custom games. I mean, this was a terrible launch. I'll give it that. I was super disappointed, and like, it was just kind of a punch to the gut, but I feel like they cleared everything up by the end of the week. Like, the game came out on a Tuesday. By Sunday, like, everything was pretty much working. And the cutscenes thing, like, I get it. Like, a lot of people complained about that. I don't really understand that complaint, though, because I guess I don't care too much about the cutscenes. They did kind of sell it as being more cinematic, because I played it at BlizzCon, like, the little demo thing that they had there. And basically, the cutscenes were just close-ups. They're like close-ups over the shoulder, 2 shots, profile. And as opposed to the cutscenes just being like the wide, like what you see in the game, just, you know, like kind of a bird's eye view like that in some of the shots. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think what it is for me exactly is like, you can ask Leslie, you can ask anybody that knows me. Anytime there's like a cinematic for any game that I've like played and really enjoyed, like anytime, I don't play League of Legends anymore. But when there's a League of Legends cinematic, and when it's like CGI'd and it's all realistic and everything, I'm going to watch it immediately, because I love seeing characters and I love seeing things like that animated fully, and like getting to see them in high res, high detail, and just things that you don't see. And so when this game came out, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to see the part where, you know, this person becomes a wraith or like all these things. And then it's like, meep. And nothing happens. It's just the same shitty over-the-shoulder 3D cutscene.
Yeah, it's too bad. Did you end up, after they fixed everything, fix a lot of the stuff, did you go back to it and do you enjoy it now, Nick?
I mean, I'll play it, you know, every now and then. Did I complete the campaign again? No. I was just, I'm still upset about it. I'll play custom games. Like, me and my friends will be like, hey, you want to play, you know, Dragon Ball Z Hero Wars, like just the most absurd stuff. And then, yeah, we'll go hop in and or like play Pokemon. But yeah, it's fun.
Dude, Nick, do you play Pimp My Peon?
Oh, Pimp My Peon is so good. Or Gladiator.
Dude, so good. Yeah.
So it's still very heavily moddable. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's actually, I think it's 80% of their player base is nothing but custom games.
Damn, dude. It's, yeah. And Blizzard is like very like against mods for the most part.
Well, what they did when this game came out, and this was kind of a point of controversy as well, they wrote into the small print. They said, like, if you create a mod, we own it, basically. Yeah. So, you know, somebody can't create Dota that blows up and then you know, make money off of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Emilio, what is your choice? Biggest disappointment this year?
And I'm not going to say, because I really didn't play it that much. Cyberpunk 2077. Now, I wasn't like, this is going to be the best game of all time or anything like that. But coming from this studio, CD Projekt Red, I thought it was going to at least work, like 100% work. You know what I mean? And play well, and everything was going to be at least... I know how much these people love their games and how much time they put into it. I didn't think that they were going to put out something that wasn't quite finished. I thought this game was going to suck my dick as soon as I downloaded it for some reason. And my dick was not sucked, not even close. Like, there wasn't even a lick. So I know it will be good one day. You know, they're a very social company and they're very transparent. And they're just basically like, we don't care if we lose money. We're going to gain our good name back at all costs. So we're going to make right by all the people who invested in our game. So they're just going to spend the next fucking year or two making this game great. And I'm looking forward to that game that like Founders or whatever they name it, the enhanced edition, whatever they do. I'm looking forward to that game now. And that game will suck my dick. Maybe lick the balls.
Okay. All right. And Mini put Marvel Avengers. That's probably a good choice. Yeah. Although, was that really a disappointment? Because I felt like I saw this one coming a mile away.
Huge. They lost a lot of money on that. Yeah, people were complaining right off the bat. Just, you know, we had the whole actor thing. People were really upset about that. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. The screens that I saw, it looked fine. It looked just like a Spider-Man game.
I mean, the graphics didn't look that great. But I think where it really failed, like, so they had the initial problem of they didn't use the likeness of the actors in the movies. So the superheroes kind of looked like these weird off-brand superheroes in the outfits, like the knockoffs you see on Hollywood Boulevard or whatever. But I think that's really where the problems just began. I think the actual game itself is just pretty bad and it had issues with stability and just like the general design of the game just wasn't fun. I don't know. But again, like, I don't feel like this was like a big surprise. I think we all kind of saw it coming. All right, let's hear what some other listeners have to say. This is from JX32. He says his favorite game this year was Red Dead Redemption 2. This game not only is visually stunning, but has an immersive storyline that keeps you hooked from start to finish. You build a real connection with the characters. On completion of the game, I was not bored, but instead left wanting more. For me, the game's mechanics are intuitive and on point. Hoping the rumors of a Red Dead 1 remake are true.
Ray did me a big favor and he got me this game for free. And I played it and I enjoyed what I played. And then I just didn't continue. I don't know why I didn't. There's a lot of games that just feel console-y. And they don't really feel at home at PC, and I felt like this was one of those. I don't know. I just kind of felt like I was playing. Now, I don't know what it is.
This game for PC, it came out late 2019, like December 2019. Yeah. For console, it came out in 2018. We had to wait about a year for this game to come out for PC, so it really kind of
and we got a better version.
We got a better version with more stuff added. But it really kind of sucked away the excitement. You know, it wasn't like a big release. It's on PC. Like, the game had already come out. A lot of people had already played it. You'd already seen it everywhere, all over YouTube. So when the game finally came to PC, it was one of those situations as a PC gamer where you feel like you're getting the scraps of the gaming world. So I don't know. Maybe that kind of played into it a little bit. This wasn't really my type of game. I tried it out, didn't enjoy it.
As someone who's played the PS4 version and the PC version, I will say that I concur with Amelia where it does feel like it's made to be mapped on a controller. What I will say, it's obviously a great game. The writing is amazing. The patches that they made on the PC version is just a way better version than the PS4 version. It's just like, like the same thing that happened to Emilio happened with me, where like I played the first three chapters and I just couldn't finish the game. And I can't remember what game came out, but there was something that released like 2 weeks after the Red Dead Redemption 2 where it just completely was hyped up for me, and I just unfortunately dropped it dead in the water.
Barbie's Dream House 2020.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But I mean, I feel like we're kind of being a little harsh on the game, but a lot of people really like this game. You know, it's definitely a good game.
Bobby, I feel like it happens to us over and over where, like, you know, these console games get like Game of the Year and people love them and it's the greatest thing ever. And then we play them and it just doesn't land for us. A lot of times that Breath of the Wild is another one. Both of us, we didn't care for it very well, but last year everybody was like,
yeah, of the year at the Game Awards.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think there's a certain, it's an intangible thing that we don't know how to put our finger on it, or at least I can't even verbally, about what it is about the feeling of a console game when it's switched over to PC, that it's just not there. Or maybe, you know, some people just grew up, they went from Nintendo, Super Nintendo to like PlayStation, and now they're at the PlayStation and they just never stop playing consoles, so that's what they're used to. You know, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I think some of it's the controls, going from a mouse and keyboard to a controller. But I think there's just kind of like there's different trains of thought, different philosophies in console games versus PC games.
In the development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just.
I mean, I'm super at home with the controller. I play Hades with the controller. Like, I'm fine. But I don't know. It's at the development area.
That happened with Valhalla for me. I just found it a little too arcadey. And when I played Cyberpunk, I was like, okay, this is what an RPG feels like, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. Yeah, something about it. I think arcadey, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This next submission comes from Rusty Bagels. His choice for Game of the Year is Cyberpunk 2077. And he says, guns, gore, and smashing whores.
Woo! It's like it's cyber. I mean, it's GTA, you know, but for the modern age.
Yeah, with a better setting.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about the San Andreas remake/remaster?
No.
So GTA San Andreas is getting re-released from my understanding, is in the GTA, the newest GTA engine for PC and the newest consoles.
Is that made by a Rockstar, or is this like a passion project?
No, that's made by Rockstar. It's supposed to be their 0.5 game, like essentially their game between games.
Yeah, well, San Andreas came out between 3 and 4, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That's the Unreal Engine 4 version. This is something they just announced, but what they're going to be making is in the GTA 5 engine.
I love San Andreas, man. It was one of my favorites. Probably Vice City was probably my favorite, I would say. I mean, that's the one that pops out.
I think that's the one I played the most, five.
But San Andreas with the soundtrack and everything, that was like my shit right there. I just felt right at home.
Oh, no, Nick. I think this article says you've been fooled by a fan remake trailer.
What?
How? What? Sorry, man.
What? He pronounced the H, dude. Fucking shit serious.
What? That's why we don't do the news section anymore,
I got duped by Reddit and a trailer, man. Come on.
Yeah, you'd say, well, the article says, you'd be forgiven for thinking it's real or a starting point for GTA 6.
I don't forgive him for 1 second, dude. He grew up on the internet, dude.
No, wow. Like I legit thought it was real. Like people were posting it everywhere, and I was like, "Oh shit! Like this is awesome." Because I loved GTA San Andreas for like the worst reason possible, and that's because you could be fed. And no other GTA game could you like eat hamburgers and as much as you wanted and then get fat. You can be Niko Bellic and eat all the pierogies you want, and you stay skinny in Russian.
dude, I want to read off some
can
stuff,
you apologize but... to the DLG community for disseminating fucking falsities, dude?
DLG community, I sincerely apologize for my misconception and duping by the Reddit community. Reddit community, I'm coming after you. 2021.
All right. Well, if you want to hear more news from Nick, follow him on his Parler account.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ, Bobby.
I'm all over the place today. Let's read off some subscriptions here. We've got Epic Tryhard Face coming in 16 months. Thank you very much.
Coming in hot.
All right. Cricket Soldier, 15 months. All right.
And he says something very important. He says, Patreon is better, and it is.
It is. Thanks, dude.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, guys. If you don't know what you get with Patreon, I think the number one thing is probably the movies on DL, right? You get a whole other podcast if you join our Patreon.
Yeah, plus a green name on Discord, so you look special there.
Yep. Goes on and on.
A sticker and a shout out? A sticker and a shout out? The sticker, maybe, I don't know. Who knows?
Dick picks a pawn request. Like, it goes on.
You should
on
have
and on.
A crotch cam for each person.
Whoa. not at that tier. Not at the $5 tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how the Your Mom's House podcast has a fart microphone? You guys should have a crotch camera. It'd be perfect.
Crotch cam.
Works on. All right. What do we got?
Next category. All right, this one is called Working on That Backlog. The best game you played this year, but it wasn't released this year. So this is always tough for me because I don't play a lot of like new games. So when I have to pick the game of the year for 2020, I have a lot less to pick from.
Yeah.
So my choice, hands down, totally, Return of the Obra Dinn, best game that I played this year. This came out in 2018. This is by Lucas Pope, the same guy who made Papers, Please. This is a puzzle game where you're basically retracing the steps and finding clues and trying to find out what happened aboard this ship called the Obra Dinn. And it is a fantastic game. Like, I just recommend this to anybody, no matter what genre of games you enjoy. Even if you're not that much of a gamer, you don't really need to be for this. This is just a fantastic puzzle game. Thoroughly enjoyed this.
I do want to play it. Are we on the family share this way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I set that up a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you should be able to play it off my account.
I always wanted to play this game.
It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. Bobby, I want to play this too. Hearing you talk about it, like, I knew it was critically acclaimed, but I never heard anyone like say how much fun they've had with it. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah, I played this game probably in two sittings. Most people beat it around 8 hours, but I just kept going, man. Like, I couldn't let it go. It's not like a lot of other puzzle games either. It's very unique, but it's done so well.
Nice. For me, it was Divinity Original Sin 2. Bobby and I at the beginning of the year tried to not bang this thing out, and it didn't happen, but I got closer. I mean, we're 70% of the way through, Bobby?
I have no idea. Yeah, we're far though.
What island are you guys on? I'll tell you how close you are.
Just about to go to Ajax, Arjax, something. The third island.
We finished the Bloody Island.
So the third island is the shortest one compared to the last chapter. You guys are about 70-75%.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured.
God, we got to do that someday.
Yeah,
and it's the best RPG of all time. So. Of course.
One of the best games of all time, in my opinion.
For sure.
All right.
Nick?
Nick, what's your choice?
You know, I gotta say something that's Warhammer related. It's not really me being on the podcast. Battlefield Gothic Armada. This is something that I love strategy games. I love space games. I love managing giant ships and stuff. And this is one of the, you know, Warhammer games that are actually good, because for every 30 of them, one of them is good.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint about this game is that it's one of those games that when you do lose a battle, you're like, well, fuck that save. I got to start over the whole entire campaign again.
Never get through the whole thing, right?
Yeah, because, you know, just because you lose one battle doesn't mean you lose the whole campaign. It's just that you feel like that. You're like, well, I lost my lead ship, but it's something that I'm playing even now. I'm enjoying, you know, Blood for the Blood God, all that stuff. I would definitely recommend it to anybody that enjoys strategy games, especially space-based ones. So,
hey, yeah, Nick, is this the one where you get to play as the capital ship?
Yeah, you can play. You can play as I believe there's 5 playable races for story, and Chaos being the 5th one. You can even play as Tyranids, so essentially giant space whales with tentacles. And you can, you know, every race has different strategies compared to how to, you know, win a battle. Some races are all about jumping onto the enemy ship and eliminating everybody on the other ship's crew, while some of them are just literally made for ramming.
Yeah. So is that the orcs? I'm going to guess that's the orcs.
The orcs are the biggest pain in the ass because they either have insanely janky but powerful ships that'll blow up based off of a chance, or they'll blow up half your army. Yeah. It's just insane.
Are they do you play online against other people?
And you can. And a lot of people do play orcs, and it's because whenever a ship gets destroyed, right, you can scuttle it. And the explosion from the scuttling does damage to the ships that are near it. And the orc ones have a higher chance of blowing up, like, immensely. And so they just fly their ship into the middle of the other person's fleet and blow up and kills a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Nick, okay, I didn't get this game, and I might be wrong, but I remember being super excited for it, looking at it, and then being like, oh, it's this kind of game? This is like a turn-based, is this a turn-based space game?
No, it's not turn-based. So that is something that a lot of people thought based off of screenshots and videos, but it's not. It's all live. You can turn it into slow-mo if you're a little, if you're like, how do I say it? It's like, you think it's too much, but plenty of people play live and, you know, and deal with the consequences of their actions. Mm-hmm. It's,
so it's like a real-time strategy game, like, in space.
In space. There's like, every race has different building options. Every race has different ship types and everything. There's so many different ways to play the game. The story is amazing as well. You don't have to play the first one to understand the story. It's just a great game, and I really got to finish it.
You're kind of selling me on this, dude.
It does look really cool.
Yeah. So I'm
the cinematics are great, and they're really scary.
I'm on the 5th book of the Horus Heresy, and they really don't focus on space battles very much at all. I'm sure there is books that focus on that, but it's interesting to hear about that part of it. The only thing, there was one reference to the size of the orc ships. That was like, they're tremendous.
Well, it's hilarious when you play the game, because in the story mode, you run into like unique ships and stuff, and one of their ships is literally a giant pile of garbage. Like, it's the culmination of every ship they've ever ran into with that ship. And so it's a giant hunk of other ships.
That's funny. Mm-hmm.
And it just blows people up.
Sold, dude. Sold. You sold it with that sentence.
I'll wait for the next sale. I'm sure you can get this at like half of that, dude. This is probably like,
I bought it for $4.
There you go. Okay.
Wow.
The last thing I'm going to say about, like, you know, Warhammer, before everybody starts logging off, like you said, Emilio, they don't really focus on the space battles. But this is one thing that you're like, oh, that makes sense. You know, these people kill billions and trillions of people every day. So that's why these ships are, you know, planets long and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
Cool.
All right. Sniper, what's your choice for best game you played this year, but did not come out this year?
Oh, man. This is the best game I've played this year, for sure. Ultimate General Civil War.
Fuck? Who the fuck are you, dude? Anyway,
give me...
Is this really a surprise?
Do you want to be American? Is that where it is?
No. Give me 2 minutes. Well, your history is much more fascinating than Canadian history.
They're like, oh, we got syrup, eh? Country.
Yeah, because more than 12 people live there. So, yeah. Dude, I remember reading about the... famous war over here, the war on the plains of Abraham. It's like 850 people versus 500 people. It's just not as exciting.
It was just a bunch of dudes with snow shovels. Come over here, I tell you what.
Yeah, grasping their timmies. Okay, that's enough stereotypes. So this game, these people make all these over-the-top real-time strategy games, but it's all about positioning. And it feels like what you would be as a general in the Civil War. So
is it like a Total War game?
Well, it's like a Total War game, but it's more strategy based and less cinematic. So you only fight the battles. First of all, there's very little management, although you do have to manage recruits and army, but it just kind of comes in automatically. And then it's all about how you position your units, what kind of armaments your units have, how much ammo they have, their experience, and what flank they get hit on. And the amount of units in a battle is realistic to history. So if you play in the Battle of Gettysburg or whatever, there's 60,000 units on screen, which is pretty cool.
So literally general shit. Like, you're talking about logistics and stuff like that.
And like super hardcore. Like in a lot of games, like a Total War game, your unit routes when it loses like 50% of its units a lot of the time. But in real life, units routed when they lost 5%, 5 to 10% Civil War units. And that's displayed here. Accuracy is like 40% sometimes. A volley will go and no one will die, which is kind of accurate if you're firing at range. Anyways, so if you're a historical nerd and you like the battle portion of it, check out this game and check out all these other games. They have ones for ships. They have ones in Japan.
Sniper, I have something that's the perfect culmination between Mountain Blade, like you said earlier, and this
Warhammer 40K.
Have you ever heard of the game? Warhammer 40K, Civil War. No, I'm just kidding. it is called War of Rights. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
So if you want to type it into Steam, it's a Civil War game. There's a lot of people that play it super hardcore, according to history, but it's the same thing. It's multiplayer and single player. It blew up earlier in 2020. But it's essentially Mountain Blade Warhammer in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And
yeah. This game came from a Mountain Blade 1 mod.
Exactly.
That was super, super fun. So I'm excited. This is like a single player version or a first person. You play as one person, right?
You play as one person, and the game is 90% multiplayer, but like the people that play this game are all like, we're the 5th Regiment of Kentucky, okay? You can only play with us if you're from Kentucky. And so it's just like, it's stuff like that, and it's LARPers. Honestly so fun to play.
Wow.
Interesting. I'll have to work on my accent. Yeah, so I put 60 hours into this Ultimate General Civil War game. And it's like an 80-hour game. It's an 80 hours to beat. You play through the whole Civil War. You can pick a side.
Nice. What side did you pick?
I picked the Confederates.
Wow, interesting.
All right, interesting.
So how long did it take?
Parlor count?
How long did it take you to get to our Capitol building, and why did you raid it?
Yikes.
Yeah, dude.
It took me 120 years.
I was playing the game, and then like some real shit started to happen. I just quit. I was like, whoa.
Dude, some war games shit. What did you do, Sniper? You're Matthew Broderick in war games. I love the Civil War setting. I really, when we played that Total War game, I was like, this would be perfect if it was in the Civil War. So I am kind of interested in that. The strategy one and kind of the first person shooter one a little bit, but more so the strategy one.
Yeah.
Cool. We're all learning about a bunch of games tonight. That's what it's all about, folks.
So, Bobby, you know, this is my one little drop of flavor onto the DLG movie podcast. Have you ever seen The Free State of Jones?
No, I haven't.
Matthew McConaughey?
Have not. Free State of Jones? Haven't even heard of it.
Free State of Jones. It's an amazing movie. I saw it with my dad, and my dad managed to stay awake through the whole thing. Mind you, he's the Mexican man that falls asleep even during Pearl Harbor. I can't remember what the actual rating on it. It's not really good as far as critically acclaimed, but if you like the Civil War, if you like that kind of stuff, the first 20 minutes of that movie are like, dude, fuck that. I would never want to go to the Civil War, because Matthew McConaughey's character is a medic during the Civil War. And he literally goes out there with like a fucking shopping cart and picking up bodies. And he's like, that guy's going to die. That guy's not going to die. This guy has a broken thumb, so I'm taking him back. Like, it's an amazing movie for that kind of period historical.
Accuracy. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like those movies. I'm throwing it on the wish list right now, or the watch
list. It's on the Netflix, so you can take it from your girlfriend.
Nice. Perfect. 2016, pretty recent. Cool. All right. So for our last entry into the working on the backlog category is Minnie saying Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch Remastered.
Yeah, of course.
No, I've heard of this game. And that's about it. Yeah, that's about all I know about it.
It's a series. Yeah, the Ni No Kuni is a it's kind of like Final Fantasy in the sense where it's like all in the same universe kind of. The animation is beloved by all. I know the last game before this one was like game of the year by a lot of people, even people that don't like anime. And that released in like 2014, I think.
What type of game is this? It says RPG adventure action, JRPG.
It's like a GRPG.
Okay.
Where it's like pseudo, like free roam and stuff like that during battle, but there's actual cooldowns and stuff. Mm. It's very similar to Final Fantasy VII's Remake's battle system, but like I said, if you like any kind of anime, if you like actually really good character development, Ni No Kuni is great.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Okay. Let's hear from some listeners here. Their favorite game of the year. Aurora Wolf says his favorite game of the year is Hades. Due to its unique method of storytelling, phenomenal gameplay, and interesting sense of progression, I believe that Hades deserves to be the game of the year for 2020.
Well said.
What more can we say about Hades?
Well said. Okay. I will definitely say more when it's my turn in the next segment. But
okay, way to spoil it.
Well said.
All right. Next, we have Controlled Pairs, and his favorite game of the year is Squad. Is that the second vote we've got for Squad this episode?
I think so.
Yeah, let's hear what he's got.
That's two for Squad, yeah.
What's going on, DLG? Controlled Pairs here. My Game of the Year nomination for 2020 goes to Squad, developed by Offworld Industries, and it began 5 years ago as a Kickstarter campaign, and it's really one of those early access stories that is a success story, one of the few games that actually delivered on all of the promises set forth by their initial backers. And now it features 100-player battles. That's 50 versus 50 online. It's all contemporary modern military simulation with vehicles and tanks and helicopters and combined arms and leadership and all those things that you guys know that I love in the games that I play. It also launched this fledgling studio, Offworld Industries, to become a publisher, and they've now got three games under their belt with Squad, Postscriptum, and Beyond the Wire. So not only has it resulted in this successful game, which is now featuring an average player count of around 10,000 and a peak all-time around 15,000, but they've launched an entire genre, and they really have become king of this corner of the industry. And for that, they at least deserve the accolades, and certainly they are my number one game of 2020. Appreciate it. Have a good one, guys.
I didn't realize.
He's such a fucking YouTuber, dude.
I need him. I need him to fucking just come and sit on this couch because he's better than I am in every way.
He's so good.
He's so well spoken.
I was going to ask, you guys fall in love with him when you listen to him talk just a little bit? You're like, yeah.
Just that buttery voice.
Yeah.
So one thing I was waiting
for. Come on
this
down
part.
To what I think about this. This is so good. You're going to like it too. And then I'm like, yeah, I like it. I like it too. And then he's like, it's got this, two, and three. I like one, two, and three. Yeah, I'm all about that. It's just, it drags you in however he speaks. It's great.
Nick, have you played Squad?
Yeah, so as someone who's played it from the 1.3 version of it to now, or sorry, 0.1.3 to now, it has come such a long way. It is a game that really kind of opens your eyes to the war that people fight nowadays, because you would think, oh, you know, this is like Battlefield where you're running around and jumping around like a bunch of idiots and stuff. No, you're actually shooting at people from like 300, 400, 500 meters away. It's a great game to play with friends. Like, it's shitty because you can't really experience half of the stuff on certain servers unless you have friends. Like, oh, no helicopter pilots if they're solo and things like that. But it's not like Battlefield. in the sense that it's, you know, you can get shot 15 times, but someone hits you with a defibrillator and then you're fine. But you take realistic damage. The guns do, you know, a bunch of realistic things. It's fun. It's just, it's a mindless thing to do with your friends, pretty much. I would definitely recommend it.
Now, this is made by Offworld. Go ahead.
Sorry, Bobby. Well, okay. One thing before you say what you're going to say, the cool thing about Controlled Pairs, which check out his YouTube channel. It's great if you like this type of games. In the trailer for the game on their Steam page, what I'm playing right now is footage from his video on Squad.
Damn.
They put, and it was so cinematic. His video, the video that they're taking this clip from, I think it's up to like 500 or 400,000 views. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, Controlled Pairs, great guy.
Nice.
Just one thing for the people that like, you know, like realism in video games and stuff like that. You know, when you play Battlefield and you have an RPG and they're like, oh, you know, there's a tank right there. Everyone knows you hit the tank three times on the side, it's going to blow up. In Squad, it's not like that. Like, if you have an anti-tank weapon and you shoot the tank and you shoot it in the tire, you know, the tire will mess up, but you're not going to actually do damage to the tank. I've seen...
Do tanks have tires?
I've seen an M1 Abrams in the middle of a street just get absolutely pounded by, like, mortars and RPGs, and it's just like, oh, it's a normal day, because it's so weird. It's so realistic, but it's also not. But it's also fun to play as, like, the insurgents or Chechen rebels when you're an American guy, because you get to ride in the back of a Toyota, like a 1980 Toyota, like a Tacoma, with a 50 cal machine gun on the back of it, and you're facing Americans who are in like Cobra helicopters, and it's so fun. It's wacky, but it's realistic at the same time.
I've always wanted to play this.
So, but it's not quite Arma level.
No. It's not the sweatiness of Arma. You're not like, call in Bravo team from coordinate 478 to come in and coordinate 59 and, you know, pound them with artillery. No, it's not that realistic.
Okay.
You kind of are, dude, from the best games I've played. Like, that's where the game really shines, when the whole team is working together in like a...
True.
Calling in people, marking targets, stuff like that.
When the team is working together, it's a different game. It really is fun. It's one of those games where like game mode matters. Like, there's a game mode where a random base pops up in the map, and everybody has to run over there and claim the base. But there's like the standard mode of like rush, where you know, a base is in the middle and both factions are fighting over it, and when they take over it, they can go to the next one and they keep progressing. So it's familiar in that way. It's also fun. It's one of those games where it's better if you don't use Discord, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So. Yeah. Yep.
All right. You sold me. Although this game is $60, it's a high price tag, but it sounds worth it.
When I bought it, it was $19.99.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was probably a lot cheaper during its early phases of development. All right, guys, it is time to talk about our best PC game of the year. Now, let's start with the people who aren't here. So, Chi said her favorite game that she played this year, that came out this year, was Valorant. This, of course, is kind of like a Riot game, their answer to Counter-Strike, a little more fun, a little mix of Counter-Strike and Overwatch, I suppose, where the characters have abilities. Pretty popular game, but didn't seem to really put a dent in the Counter-Strike player base. Next up, we've got Mini. He said his favorite game this year, no big surprise, Cyberpunk 2077.
Asterix.
Yep.
I wonder why.
Oh, the asterisk means, never mind. All right. That's part of something else.
That's an error.
Bobby's IRC chat. That's strictly prohibited for you to know.
Oh, got it.
My favorite game this year that came out this year is Black Mesa. Again, I haven't played a lot of new releases. Black Mesa, they started working on this, got what, 5-10 years ago? Long time ago. I played a lot of it, maybe around 2016 or something. I think it went on Steam about 2015. Finally released this year, though, in its entirety. Complete, finished, and I finished the game this year. Absolutely love this game. Perfect mix of new and old, like just a great remaster, a great way to either re-experience Half-Life or play it for the first time. Like, honestly, I tell people, oh, you never played Half-Life? Just play Black Mesa.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way to go. Fantastic game. Highly recommend it to anybody. Like, it's, especially if you have never played this game and you've been a PC gamer for a long time like us, like, you have to go back and play this game. It's so good. It's easy to dismiss old games and be like, oh, you know, they were good for the time. But you go back and you play this game, you're like, no, Half-Life really was something special. Like, it had a lot of things going for it. So, yeah, that is my entry to best PC game of the year.
Too bad not everybody in the world voted it as well, like mine. But I will here's my argument against Black Mesa. They remade something that was very awesome at the time, and it's probably awesome now. But they didn't. It wasn't a new idea. They didn't come up with a. Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But in some ways, I think remasters and remakes are riskier than new games sometimes. I mean, you're really playing with, it's not like a movie where everyone's already bought the ticket. They saw the movie, you made the money, too bad. You know, they'll write a bad review about it later, but you already made your money. Like, video games, people will really turn on them if they don't like it, or they feel like you've tampered and destroyed something that they love and hold dear.
Yeah.
Like Warcraft 3.
But this is I think I need to, I've never played a Half-Life game.
Play this.
Any Half-Life game whatsoever?
Yeah, none.
Yeah, there. This is the one to play, man. This is the one to play.
Okay.
It is so good.
I think Half-Life 2 probably holds up, too. I think.
Yeah, that one's pretty good, but I don't know. It's hard for me to judge that one because that was the game, I talked about it last week, where like I kept losing save files and I had to play the first half of it like 2 or 3 times before I finally beat it.
Right.
So I don't know. I kind of have some weird feelings about that. So Emilio and Nick, you both chose Hades, popular choice tonight.
Yeah, man.
I'll go first because it's your podcast.
I've already talked about it, so go ahead.
Okay, so my thing about Hades is that so many games come out every year, and, you know, I play them for like 3, 4, even up to 12 hours, and I'm just like, you know, this is a great game, and I don't finish them. But Hades was one of those games where I was like, I found out that there is an actual ending to a roguelike, and I was like, fuck, I really, really, really want to see this, because not only do I love the aesthetic, I love the art style. Not only do I love the characters, like this is a fake Greek god, but the writing is amazing. Like if Hades had a son, like this is probably how it would be. Just like I have my complaints about the game, like, oh, you know, there's only 5 bosses, but even playing the game and beating the game over and over again, it is so good. And you're just like, you beat it, you're like, fuck, I gotta play again. I gotta get to the end. And that's what makes a great game to me. And that's what really sold me on this game. This was recommended to me by a guy that was like, he's all about like Greek gods and stuff. And I was like, you know what? Roguelikes, I like those. And after the first playthrough and I died and I got to talk to Hades and I got to talk to Zeus and all that stuff, I was like, dude, I gotta play the rest of this. I have to finish this. And so I did, and it was amazing.
Yep. I've focused on a lot of different things about this game. Every time that I talk about it, I try to pick out a new thing. This time, I guess I'll talk about the character and the character development. Each character that you run, there's not a whole lot of characters. There's under 10, probably. But the depth of what you can get out of those characters, and the intermingling between them. Every time you talk to them, there's just more and more information. I don't know when this ends. I don't know how many runs you have to go through before new information starts coming out for this, but I don't want it to end. That's why I'm like, I don't want to beat this game because I want to keep talking to these people. There's two lovers that I've been trying to get together the entire time. I want to get them together. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it seems like I'm trying to get, I'm making progress on that. And I want to see where that goes. It just goes on and on. And you give them gifts. If the people that you like the most or whatever, however you want to do it, you mm-hmm. give them gifts. And every time you give them a gift, you unlock more of their story. So you don't have to hear everybody's bullshit. Just the ones that you really like, you just give them gifts over and over and over. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And it pays off later on in the game as well in rewards. Not always. And it tells you this. Like, it's like, you can keep giving gifts to this person and you'll keep getting information. It doesn't mean you're going to get anything in game. So I've been doing things just for the sake of like reading more. I don't read fucking like just the information itself. It's good. Like, man, it just goes on and on. Art, gameplay,
voice acting.
Yeah. The voice acting is ridiculous. It just, fuck, I love this game. I love this game. It's the game of the year.
All right. Sniper, your choice for game of the year.
Incest, 2000.
Kentucky Bowl, 33.
Oh, all about that incest. No, man, Crusader Kings 3, I guess maybe it's my game of the year because I never played 2. It was just like, I always thought, I played kind of complex games, but this was like too much for me. And so I was like, okay, I'm never going to play this type of game. And then the amount of fun I had, like I would go to bed and I would have dreams where I was like performing espionage in my kingdom and like marrying off my offspring and like consolidating my regime and declaring crusades and war. And I'd wake up and my first thought wasn't like, what am I going to eat for breakfast? Or like, what's my day going to be like? But it was like, how am I going to form Russia and survive the Mongol invasion or something? Like, you know, like you create your own story and it's really powerful. I think if you do it right, if you have the right run, if you have the right characters, you'll have like these super memorable moments. And no other grand strategy game has really done that exact thing for me yet.
All right.
Well, well put.
Okay, so it's time for us to deliberate and come away with our DLG game of the year for 2020. So I think we can just say no to Crusader Kings 3 right off the bat.
Yeah, right.
Let's just get rid of that one.
Out. That game's trash.
No, wait. Before we do it, Emilio had like sound effects from his mouth. They're my favorite type. Can you do it?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, like little trumpets, you know, oh. Game of the year.
Okay. I think the trumpets were better. I don't know if we really need to talk about it that much, because I think based on what has already been said, based on what our listeners have said, I think it's pretty obvious that Hades is the game of the year. I mean, it's a fantastic game. And like, even though I haven't played it, like Supergiant's a great studio. And if you've read like articles about them, yeah, they had like an article about how they avoid crunch at the workplace. Like they're one of the good guys when it comes to studios. Like they do it right. They make great games and they don't abuse their employees. Yeah. And like, it's great to see that happen just because it lets people know, hey, this is possible to do this.
Absolutely. You know?
It can be done. Like we don't need to like churn out developers just to make a good game.
Or come up with a new $4 million dollar game every year and just make it, fucking force it, whether it's good or not. We got to make this game. We got to make this deadline. You don't have to do one every year, dude. You can make a game every 3 years and everybody eats. Yeah, and it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like I always got to throw Deep Rock. I always got to bring them up, but
or
like,
make one game and just continuously feed into
it.
Yeah,
and just support it and support the community. Yeah. I mean, people are doing this. Ghost Ship Games does it. Like, Supergiant Games, Supergiant, they do it. God damn it. What's the name of the one? Clay. great developer. Like, they do the same thing. They just make a fantastic game every so often, and like that's that. So yeah, I don't know. Is everybody in agreement with Hades?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Totally.
All right. Smack my gavel.
Great. Man, really, it should have won at the Game Awards, man. But and especially because this is something that doesn't go talked about very much, but not everybody can play fucking Last of Us 2. Not just PlayStation owners, but I mean, not just PC players, but Xbox players.
Yeah, PlayStation.
Not everybody
Xbox,
can afford both.
People with a crappy laptop, like Hades, doesn't look like it's very difficult to run.
No, not at all.
So, yeah,
you know,
I give it to that. Now, I don't know. Before we get out of here, can we look up what PC Gamer's Game of the Year was? So, at the Video Games Award, it was The Last of Us Part II. PC Gamer, I saw it earlier, and I was like, that's an interesting choice. So for 2020, their game of the year was bump, 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 bump. Oh, it's up there at the top.
It is bump, 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 bump. It's better than mine.
Oh, sure. God, dude. I have to continue with ad blocker. Oh, Jesus. Okay. It's at the top? You saw it?
Scroll down
it's
a
right
little
here?
Bit.
Tell me where it is.
Scroll down a little bit.
Oh, scroll. Oh, you want me to scroll? Oh,
yep,
scroll
up scroll a little bit. Down.
Oh, okay.
Scroll up a little bit. Stop. Game of the year. Death Stranding.
Wow.
Death Stranding.
Pretty crazy, huh? Death Stranding, PC Gamer Game of the Year.
Good for them to do that, man. That's like, that's doing what we don't do, is give credit to console games.
And I don't know about this list. Look, there's nothing that's repeating. They're, you know, I think they're just like, everybody gets a little slice of the pie.
Well, I don't know. But the other thing, too, is they're like actual journalists, so they play like entirely through the game. And
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So
everything we talked about is on this list, though. Like Monster Train is on here, was one of my favorites. Half-Life Alyx was on here. Valorant's on here. Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, they got some good choices.
Yeah,
but I think it's good. So, like other places I've seen, you know, their games of the year. Like, of course, it varies a lot. But I have seen Hades pop up a lot. Like, I just think that's it's an outstanding game, and it is definitely deserving of recognition.
Yeah.
So I'm
thinking
glad
about it right now. I'm like, I got a really good running going on. I'm like, I think I can beat the game on this run.
Could do it tonight.
I could do it tonight.
All right. You should stream it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for us. Any last words, guys? 2020, just thoughts in general.
And let us know if you like this episode, this format. I mean, we do.
Well, we're not going to do this again. This is like a one-time thing. Well, a once-a-year thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, next year, we got to have suits or tuxes and then Bob Barker microphones.
Or at least tuxed t-shirts. Tuxedo t-shirts?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
All right. So 2020, as a year in gaming, just in general, like what are you guys' final thoughts?
Well, I was glad that good games came out next year, all year, unlike movies, where like we're watching all the 2019 movies up until the end almost. Somehow game studios kept on keeping on, and we could have very easily, what happened to movies could have happened to games, but it didn't. And I'm very grateful for that, for sure. Yeah.
And with everything that happened this year, it's a great time just to have gaming in your life. In general, I feel like this is one of the better years for video games. Like we had a lot of good releases this year. I'm happy. I also did the math. Yeah. I played 65 new games this year, which is lower than I expected. Damn. Yeah, 65 new games, not counting like games that I played before and just happened to play this year.
Damn.
Yeah.
How'd you do the math?
I will.
Went through all our episodes.
Oh.
Jesus.
Well, I just went through I didn't listen.
The tags, right?
Yeah. Just check the tags.
I will say my quote for this year is an age of strife for some and an age of prosperity for others. And it's really that way for video game players.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sniper, final thoughts, 2020.
Man, this episode was a lot different from like the last game of the year episode. You guys were like struggling to come up with games of the year, you know, and this episode, there's so many that it's like, okay, Crusader Kings 3 is the best strategy. Like, all these games are best in class. So it's awesome. It was an awesome year for gaming.
Yeah, it really was. All right, sign us out.
Speaking for Bobby, Minnie, Nick, Chris, Sniper, and myself. Game of the year. No, titties of the year. Bye, everybody. Dun, 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 dun. I wonder who had the titties of the year.
I don't know.
Did you see that your mom's 23andMe results came in?
Yeah, it was mine, dude. I mean, I did all that. I sent that out to everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about it next episode.